Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking. Now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that, too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
All right. Isn't there, like, music that comes after that?
Yeah, it feels like there's something missing there.
I don't know. Anyway, weak intro. But let me tell you
something. What happened? It petered out.
All right, you can stop playing it now. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Paul, Andy, Fred are here. Is Scalavino coming later?
He's working on posting the update on
Patriots.com. I'm pumped. You guys walked in. I didn't get to go to the OTA today. I've been doing business, but... I'm down here. You guys walk in, and you got me pumped up. Just what you're saying, I'm jacked.
You should be. This is a very, very good football team. I'm telling you right now. Not that that's breaking news, but this is a good football team.
I am.
They even look good in May.
I am pumped and jacked.
You should.
All right, we're going to talk about that. This OTA that's going on today. Media was allowed access, so we're going to have all the news fresh off the field here on PFW Progress. We'll be here until 4 o'clock. Eastern time, special time, making accommodations for the football team so that we can
big of us.
Be live for you here at 2 o'clock. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And, guys, you don't know about this, but I just heard one of the best MP3s from one of our listeners ever. Doctor, would you agree? He's shaking his head yes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Unbelievable. We're going to play it. Later on, and we'll probably play it twice today.
Who's it by? Tree Hugger?
Tree Hugger. This is incredible.
I look forward to it.
I laughed. I cried. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, but when you say something's great, it's kind of
lost
its value.
You've devalued the
word. You've overused
great.
It.
No, this is top notch.
But not devalued. Fred, one of the stories of the day is Rodney Harrison.
Yep.
Reportedly will have a conference call tomorrow to announce his future.
Now, that was reported by the Herald.
By the Herald. He replied to a text to them, so they had the report. It's being supposedly set up by the Patriots. It sounds like all things are pointing to he's going to retire. I don't know that for sure. It's not reported, whatever. But just listening to some of the players discuss Rodney, seemed like they were pretty comfortable kind of talking in the past tense. And I think if the Patriots are setting it up, he'd either be returning here or retiring because he's a free agent. So the vibe I get is he's going to retire. But anyway.
So that's going to be an official press conference?
Conference call.
Okay.
Conference call tomorrow.
Will we have that live on Patriots.com?
I don't know. You organize those things. I don't. Anyway, Teddy Bruschi said Hall of Famer. Rodney Harrison is a Hall of Famer.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Don't know if I agree
with that. Has ideal characteristics. Had said his 2003 season was one of the great seasons he's ever seen by a defensive back or a player in general. If you remember that year, it was all over the place. Great year, good defense, everything. Postseason even.
I would agree with that.
I think if Bill Belichick was his coach his whole career, he'd have been a Hall of Famer.
You might be right.
It's very possible, yes. Yeah. And then the other, everyone seemed to agree that he's going to be great on TV based on not only what he's done, but they don't feel like he's going to get bland. And
now,
James,
has he found a place on TV?
Like he was not just a place. He was kind of mulling options. Sounds like he had a few different avenues. I mean, obviously, he did some work for
NFL
NBC
Network.
Was the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Whoever did the Super Bowl, he did some work for.
Right.
NBC.
And he's done some NFL Network.
Yep.
I know James Sanders was raving about him, kind of laughing about it. That he's
okay, so let's say that he comes out tomorrow and he says, I'm retiring.
Right.
Two safeties go down, whatever. It comes November. Does he still...
Well,
contemplate coming back?
No, he has pretty much said definitively when he's done.
Sayo retired.
Your scenario is plausible, but Harrison has said specifically, when I retire, that's going to be it. Doesn't mean that's it. I mean, a lot of guys retire, and I'm sure they think that's it when they retire.
Especially
he has said flat out.
14-0 Patriots call you in late November, and Bill, you know, I'm sure Bill could be
possible.
A pretty good salesman.
You can't
the one thing
eliminate
is,
it.
If he's in a position, if he's, I don't know, a game analyst or whatever he signs on to do on some network, I think he's the kind of guy who would consider that an obligation. Like,
yeah, like what if you were part of like Football Night in America?
Right.
Deion did it, right?
You know?
I think there's a difference between Rodney Harrison and Deion Sanders.
I do too.
One is the show, and one I think is a very good human being and puts
Deion,
a lot of thought into
Deion
things.
Wanted to come back and play and still do the TV.
Right. And
Deion
wants
is
to do
a Hall of Famer.
Announce people at the draft and then also represent them and have Prime U.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Deion is going to be a Hall of Famer and Rodney's just a borderline Hall of Famer.
Well, that's true, too.
No.
But I just think that – I think Rodney would – he's one of those –
I know.
You
just
know how your mom tells you, you signed up for a baseball team. You can't go on vacation. You made a commitment to the team.
Right.
I feel like Rodney's one of those kind of people.
That's a good tangent for another day.
Okay.
Not enough people do that anymore. That's a good tangent for another time.
Oh, sports?
Yes.
Oh, tell me about it.
Because what Andy just said is exactly right. We weren't allowed to go on vacation until the seasons were over.
Tell me about it.
No one adheres to that policy anymore.
All right. So let's talk about today's practice. I know fans are eager to hear about how everyone looks, starting with number 12. But
the rust is off.
Going on down the line. B-Lo, as I came down here, gave me his little take. Looks like he's throwing better.
He was far better, more comfortable, more accurate. I said to Paul, one play I thought stood out, it was a red zone drill. He pulled the ball down to run, then stopped, pulled up, and hit Moss crossing the end zone for a touchdown. I just thought a huge jump from last Thursday to today in comfort, everything.
And he was more vocal out there, too. Last week he was just kind of...
Can I paraphrase what he said?
Sure.
Yeah Randolph, when he threw a pass to Randy Moss. Yeah. It's a very close paraphrasing there.
Very close. But yeah, his passes looked a lot crisper. His decision making looked better all around. I just thought I don't even really think about his knee much really right now when I'm watching him.
Nor should you. The point when you think about it is going to be when there's live bullets, as they say.
Sure, but for now at
as
least,
Borges would write 300-pound men in a bad mood running at him.
You know, for now at least, he looks like he's made an improvement from last week to this week.
I would agree in terms of the throwing. I would say. I definitely noticed the knee, but in terms of throwing, I think Andy and Eric are right on. I think it was light
years. Noticed it in what way? Immobility?
Yeah, I think he drags it. I think he's still – you could clearly see he's coming off an injury. I think he's laboring a little bit, but in terms of his throwing, today was much, much better, much sharper. And I agree with
he's
Eric.
He's trying to hurt your boy, Fred. Welker was running these underneath routes like three yards past the line of scrimmage. And Brady was hitting him with fastballs.
He was drilling
like he was trying to throw it through him.
But I also agree with Eric's point about him being more vocal today. I thought that was a good sign. I think when Brady is like that, I think that means that he's feeling good and he's into it. He's
I also
confident.
Think, not to put too much emphasis on us, but I think the media played a role the other day. It was a circus. He knew it was a circus. It was the first, he knew what was kind of
you're probably right.
going on, and it was part of it that affected him a little
bit. But yeah, but last week, too, he did a lot of that, you know, when he gets down on himself and he drops his head a little bit.
Because he sucked.
Because he was misfiring on a lot of passes last week, and he said so during his Q&A with the media. And today you didn't see any of that, and you know, as Paul was saying, he was out there encouraging his teammates a lot more. You were paraphrasing him when he was joking around with Moss, and he just looked more like the Brady that we've expected to see and have seen in the past. Last week was a little bit, you know, understandably so. He wasn't really himself last week, but I think very quickly he got over that, and he had a much better practice today.
Freddie, let me give you some of the nuts and bolts real quick, and if people want this, they can go to Patriots.com, go to the PFW blog. Tons of notes up there. Paul did a thing on the defensive backs, the new guys, Springs and Bodden. But okay. 78 players were on the field. That's two more than last Thursday. Brewski and Al Johnson were on the field. Brewski missed it last week, reportedly, to deal with a death in the family. The people not on the field of note, I will say, Brandon Merriweather, Sammy Morris, Ray Ventrone, Mike Richardson, Gerard Mayo, Mark Lavore, Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren, Jarvis Green, all the same guys, basically, just to get the nuts and bolts out of the way.
Well, the reps, you know, the defense still needs the reps.
Right, right. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Really need to make sure we get Mike Wright and Lakeven Smith on the defensive line in there.
Brewski talked a little bit. Seymour talked a little bit.
Yeah.
Seymour was interesting.
Yeah.
Because he was asked about his contract status, and he kind of tiptoed through it. He didn't really want to talk about it, but as Seymour's wont to do, he ends up talking about things. Without really saying
too
much.
Goes to the Ellis Hobbs school of not talking about
it? Yeah, sort of. But he said he didn't really want to talk about his personal situation, but he said it's a fun situation to be in, especially when you're playing at a high level. So I don't know if you can read into that saying that, you know, it's the final year of his deal, and if he plays well, he's going to get paid no matter where it is. But somebody asked him whether or not he would want to return to New England, and he said, oh, of course, absolutely, but it has to be mutual. There has to be, you know, both sides have to want it
to
happen.
So he feels he's playing at such a level that it'll be good for his next contract.
I was reading in between the lines that that's what he was trying to say. Yeah.
And let's not forget John Gruden on draft weekend. A number of times talking about Richard Seymour and being the prototypical 3-4 end. He is the measuring stick at that position. Real Scouts, I believe, had him ranked fifth, fourth. So
something like that.
While locally and fan-wise, he's drawn some criticism over the
last
couple
of years.
It's
kind of the opposite of our normal thing that we say outside.
He's still well thought of, you know, throughout the league. I mean, Gruden is how many months removed from being a coach? So it's not like he's just this old media guy living off whatever. He is months removed from being a coach, and then those real scouts, whoever they are supposed to be, you know, real scouts, and they rank him pretty high. Well, they are, right?
That's all they say.
All right. Who else? How'd Joey Galloway look?
He still flies.
He's fast.
And not only that, let me just
although
throw
he does
this
the ball
there.
Thing. Speaking of Deion.
Oh, he carries the ball like that every time. Eric was
does
talking about
does he always
that
do that, though, like in
always.
Games?
All the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
If, he
yeah.
if he catches a slant and does that, I'm going to be yelling.
Well, get
when
ready
he
to yell.
When he thinks he's free and clear.
I got no problem when he thinks he's free and clear, but if he's got a slant and there's still like a safety or someone in the picture, if I see a ball in the palm of his hand, I'm going to be very upset. Because that's just an extension of the running backs who don't put the ball in the outside hand anymore.
Just
he's not good enough. I know he's good and had a nice long career. He's not Walter Payton and he's not Deion Sanders.
Well, then get ready to yell at him because that's what he does. But interesting, now 37 years old, Fred. He's going to be 38 in November. Kevin Falk, Wes Welker, and Joey Galloway returning punts.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know when the last time he consistently returned punts.
2004, 20.
Did you look it up?
Had a touchdown.
2004, that's a
since
long time ago.
Since then, he's had five total, no more than three in a season. He's got 141 in his career, five punt return touchdowns, but has not done it on a regular basis since 2004 with Tampa.
That was Dallas.
9.6 yard career
Andy.
Average.
Well, that's a very good average.
All had one season, 12-7, I believe he averaged. I mean,
anytime you're around 10 yards of return on punts,
and
that's pretty good.
Five career touchdowns is that's
yeah,
a pretty
that's
big
a lot,
number.
That's a lot of punt return.
I mean,
touchdowns.
They were
that's
doing the drill.
For a guy who really hadn't done it on a consistent basis either, right?
They were doing the drill where they would have one or two footballs in one arm,
right.
And they'd have to make the catch one-handed, the other one, and looked like they did pretty well. Welker caught both of his, and I'm not sure if did Galloway
missed
one.
Dropped one.
Oh, Welker dropped
Falk
one.
Didn't miss any, Falk as he never does.
I was going to say, Falk is the only one.
Welker was good,
I just
not
put
great.
I was going to say in there.
And Galloway looked like he'd never done the drill before because I'm guessing he may not have ever done the drill before.
Oh,
he
yeah.
did he not
was,
look comfortable.
He was mad, too.
And then there
he
was one
himself.
Play, I said to Paul, though, there was one play he muffed it, but then there was a gunner coming down that could have recovered it, and he kicked it out of bounds. A good cerebral play by the veteran. Penalty, okay. But you keep possession.
So what Andy pointed out, Bill will probably be happy about that play when he
because I mean you
film.
Can't you can you hope he catches the ball, but you're putting him in a drill where he already has a ball in his hand, so right. You can't really yell at him completely for dropping the ball. Good heads up veteran play.
Yeah. All right, how do the rookies look?
My boy Butler had an interception.
That's nice. Off of Brady?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. It was, I don't know. It was definitely
Did Brady.
Brady.
Yell at him?
It was definitely no. Brady, but I think there was something going on in the play because he was well underneath the coverage on Moss, and the throw either was badly underthrown or Moss wasn't where he was supposed to be. Not to take anything away from Butler because he's my boy,
yeah.
But it didn't seem like he wasn't like blanketing Moss on the play. He was well underneath.
Yeah, Moss was sort of hadn't even turned to look for the ball yet, and Butler was making the play, so it looked like Paul's right. It looks like there might have been some miscommunication between quarterback and receiver.
I don't think he was calling him Randolph on that play.
How about Pete Chung? How'd he do?
How about Pat?
Patrick.
He called him P, I think, not Pete.
Oh. It sounded Pete like I thought you said Pete.
No.
He had to, I saw him at one point, he had to really hold up from taking somebody's head off because there's no pads and they're not allowed to
Why,
hit.
Why, Matthew Slater did?
Matthew Slater evidently didn't get that memo.
Put a shoulder under 87's chin.
Yeah, he 80 is it 80? Who was that? Baker?
I don't know. That's
Chris
why
Baker.
Said
he's
seven.
He needs that. You know the WWF there, Dr. Sidney Papushkin with the emergency tracheotomy. He's going to need one of those.
I thought interesting, Fred. Not a rookie, but a newcomer, Brandon McGowan, safety, Maine Bears,
right.
Been injured.
Yep.
Lot of reps in various multiple DB packages.
Trying to figure out what we have there.
So there's your four safeties.
Yeah, and you know who I didn't see getting a lot of reps?
Tank
was the key to the defense, Tank Williams.
Well, we know what he can do.
I think Brandon McGowan has clearly passed him
up. Do you know what he can do? Doing.
He's a hybrid.
Really?
Yeah.
Hybrid
what?
Player slash retired player?
Linebacker safety.
Because he's just about out of the league.
I think you have Merriweather wasn't out there again. He touched on the attendance. But you're going to have Merriweather and Sanders, and you have Chung, and I think McGowan will factor in. Based on what we've seen in these practices, he's out there an awful lot.
And James Sanders is now the veteran of the group, let's not forget. Not just safeties, but the overall secondary. He is your veteran presence as a fifth-year player, three-and-a-half-year starter.
Don't forget Sean Springs, who's 34.
And doesn't know the system. So the veteran presence is James Sanders.
Yeah,
Dean Pease calls him the old guy, even though he's only 25.
There's cornerbacks that are... they have more years in the league, but no one that's been a Patriot.
Jimmy is the vocal, emotional, and... communicatory leader.
Get off your knees, Andy. Please.
Wow.
I did it on the blog, too. Wow.
Hi, James.
I had a nice little chat with James. I did think mildly.
Andy didn't know who he should request because we kind of, you know, we go through the regulars like Randy Moss, knowing that you're not going to get him. And Andy was like, who should I talk to? I said, why don't you talk to your boy Sanders and maybe you could ask him maybe about Rodney. You should have seen Andy's face light up. Like, why didn't I think of that? Like, what?
Although,
it was like unbelievable.
He said something which I'm not sure was he really put a lot of thought into when asked about. John Tomasi was asking for the best behind-the-scenes Rodney Harrison story. And he hemmed and hawed and was thinking, then he goes, you know, it's funny. One thing we joked about is we all like to get hyped up before games. And some of us take a variety of supplements to do that.
Oh, boy.
And I'm thinking,
see,
that's what I'm thinking
what everybody,
when he says it.
That's what everybody immediately reacts,
and
I totally
was,
agree. What
he was
he
referencing
thinking?
Himself. He said, I take NO Explode or NO2 Explode or something, and Rodney used to make fun of me and say, yeah, you're just working to get cramps out on the field. But that story, to me, I'd be steering clear of those hyped-up supplement stories with a guy who has, you know, an issue in the past with that.
Are you talking more like about like Red Bull-type drinks or those kind of
NO
things?
Explode. Pep pills. No, NO Explode is a supplement. It's like a... I don't know exactly what it is, but
obviously the ones that he's
talking intern
about,
upstairs was taking it yesterday before he went to work out.
The ones that he's talking about are obviously okay. They're not on the banned substance list.
Right.
But with a guy, when you're talking about a guy who recently, you know, within 2 years has been...
I'd be keeping as far away from that
reprimand.
As possible.
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't talking about a guy who had problems with that in the past and Rodney, I wouldn't talk about that if I was a pro athlete right now.
Nope.
Brewski answered that question with... There's a reason they're behind-the-scenes stories and moved on. Said it with a smile, but
okay,
had a point to it.
All right, so overall it was a good practice, huh?
It was. You know, if they could work training camp out to be like this once a week,
yeah,
I'd be a big fan.
Well, next week's a big week because we've got...
Next week, 5 days of access.
Golf tournament and then 4 days of access, so... Big week coming up to next
Weird
week.
Next week.
I don't know when we're going to be on PFW in progress next
and then
week.
Then nothing That's until training point. Camp after that.
Nothing until that's right. Then we go into the dog days of the summer. So that's the way they set it up.
Tuesday.
I always thought it was weird, though. You get, you know, all this condensed work in, and then they just go away for 2 months. It's just almost like you got to forget it all, you know?
Well,
Who are you, Chad Jackson?
Well, I'd rather stagger it out, like 1 week off, 2 weeks on, 1 week off, 2 weeks on.
Yeah, I'm sure the players would really love that.
Well, I don't know. It just you know, they're going to be off for so long after all this
yeah,
work.
Yeah, but they're going to be on for so long.
Yeah.
Once they get here July 20-something, well, they don't
that's
leave.
That's it until well, February.
I'd even rather have these mini camps before the training year. Camp. You know, so don't you think you'll lose it? You know?
No. Do kids go back to school and have to reset everything? Do they forget everything over
Fred,
summer break?
You install your system now, and that's what you're doing. And then when training camp comes, you're implementing that. You're on the field and you're doing it. Bill will be the first to tell you, you shouldn't be practicing as well in day one as you will be in day five.
Sure. And they do review everything again.
Yeah,
but they do it boom, boom, boom. There's no time to talk about it. You should, as soon as we say this, the light bulb should go off. You should say, oh, I did that in minicamp.
But how many times, there's injured guys coming back and Bill will say, well, obviously, you know, we're on day six of practice here. We've had 12, 13 practice. And Bill always knows exactly the number of practices that day that
and
they've
it's
had. And
relatively
he'll say
short
he's 12 practices
time.
Behind.
Right. But even before that, he'll say it like day three and emphasize how it's only day three,
but it's seven practices.
Six or seven practices in. These other guys are well ahead of that because we quickly went over everything we'd kind of started in the mini camps.
The fried dough's a little overdone again today.
I'll never know because you're the only one who gets to eat it, apparently.
Because you picked it up by a half a slice.
Speaking of which, who bought lunch today, or did anybody?
Yes, someone did.
Did they send in the...
Did they really?
With a
Mark
card
and Cheddar.
Oh, I should have got a cheeseburger.
Did you finally give a good
thank
honor
you, Mark.
Mark credit card?
Thank you, Mark.
Very good, Mark. Very good. You're one of our best listeners from Cheddar.
So that's... But Jason, do you want to play that MP3? All right, let's.
Jeez.
This
can't live up to the hype, but just so you know.
This is Tree Hugger's MP3. He says, I was glad to see my MP3 of a couple weeks ago prompted others with better sound equipment to raise the bar in terms of production values from other MP3 contributors. And now it's time to raise the bar again. Here's a bit of gratuitous nonsense that only the Patriots offseason and a slow day at work produce. Feel free to use it as a guest intro for the show. One word of warning, however. Although I have upgraded my recording equipment, I must confess that I, say it all together, have no formal artistic training. So let's hear Tree Hugger's MP3.
And now, another MP3 from Tree Hugger in Oregon. Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end problems and wedge salads, BFW in progress. The host was a mighty radio man, his crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a 2-hour lunch. A 2-hour lunch. Email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch. Scalavino. Dr. D, BFW in progress. So this is the tale of our radio show about politics and itchy butts, about yelling at people in restaurants and sometimes patriots. The BFW cast and crew will do their very best to eat the lunch that's bought for them. It's a Diet Pepsi Fest. No props, no bays, no cameras, not a single luxury. Just blogs and calls and emails and occasional MP3. So join us here each time, my friends. It's sure that we'll digress from talking about the Patriots. BFW in progress.
That is good.
That's phenomenal.
Wow.
That's
very well
done.
Challenging the Christmas poem.
Has certainly raised the bar.
That's very, very
well done.
That's outstanding.
My gut reaction is how much time on a slow day at work did this guy have to
put
this together?
What do you work for, BFW?
I know, my God.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Treehugger.
That was really good.
I need the very beginning again. What was there a behind joke or something in there?
Yeah. Something about,
I like that. That's one of those you could listen to a few times, like a Adam Sandler movie from college.
Yeah.
New laughs every time.
Well, that was good stuff. Thanks, Tree Hugger. That could become an open.
Very good. I like
it. Oh, it should be an open.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
It's better than the one that petered out today where the doctor forgot to play the end or something.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It wasn't the same
It did
ending.
Not sound quite right.
We need Tamash running the board around here.
Yeah, we need to bring in Tamash.
Look at him.
Need a little.
He's all upset.
A little youthful energy brought to the board.
All right, so.
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
No, we don't.
So on the website, we already have the blogging that you guys did. Eric, you've already posted your.
Posted. If you hit Shift F5 and close your browser 7 times, you should
I know.
Be able to see it.
I know Chris has a bunch of audio from the field that he gathered.
Is there a question mark on the end of that?
I don't know. I saw Tacoma was out there with the.
I did
recorder.
See. He was in one of the.
Well, he was working for Sirius.
I have a new guy, Freddie.
Yeah.
I have a new guy. Sean Springs.
Sean Springs, your guy?
Andy likes to say it's because of the guys that are closer to my age.
They bonded immediately. They saw that they were of, you know, similar age and stature.
Very, very nice man.
Overrated guys.
Okay. All right.
So I'll be rooting for him. Hopefully the two guys that I talked to the last couple of weeks won't be pulling any hamstrings.
I know we got some photos coming up.
David was out there.
David Silverman, our photographer, was out there. So a lot
everything
of stuff on Patriots.com. Everything you need to put yourself into today's OTA. It's right up there.
Still a relatively impressive media turnout.
It had to be about 30 anyway.
Okay.
It was, yeah. I mean, not 96 like it was the other day, but I would say probably more than 30. I would say it was closer to
maybe
half.
I set the over-under at 20.5.
And easily.
And we all went under.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it was definitely, it was I counted. Over.
Local or some national in there?
A little bit of both.
What do you consider Tom Curran?
Tom Curran was the only national one. He's local.
Yeah,
he's actually
a local national.
Albert Breer, too.
Was there, too.
Who's technically same national, thing. But he's local.
Was Peter King there?
Peter King was not here.
No, Peter
he's local now, too. He lives
that's
in
true.
Boston.
He's local now.
He's also
all the national
local.
Guys are local now.
Well, they all want to live in Boston. Yeah. It's sports town USA.
And Don Banks used to be local, and now, you know, he moved, but he used to live in Brooklyn.
Didn't Michael Silver live here, too? The guy from Sports Illustrated?
I would shoot myself. He's not with,
I don't not with them anymore.
I think he's a West Coast guy.
Or maybe his dad
lives
here.
He's a Yahoo.
Here.
I mean, he's with Yahoo.
I don't know.
He's something a like Yahoo.
Because I know he has some ties.
Michael Smith?
Michael Smith?
Yeah. Right. Does he still live here?
Former Globe guy?
I think he still does live here.
Yeah. Len Pasquarelli.
All right, this is a terrible tangent. Let's move on.
People don't really like when we talk about the media.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com.
Although there's a big thread on Pats fans about the media covering the Patriots and not a lot of love given to PFW.
The best and the worst.
I'm not surprised.
At least we didn't get any mentions in the worst.
You know, here's what kills me, though, about people's perception. If you're looking for good coverage of the Patriots.
Go to Mike Reese.
No. No, of course Mike Reese. As great
well,
coverage.
That's PFW.
But
that's
I think PFW has the best in Patriots.com.
I think in terms of
range the most.
And detail, we blow anybody else out of the water.
Absolutely.
Because we will tell you legitimate things that no one else will tell you.
Especially
and then
now.
We'll tell you non-legitimate things that are just stupid, quirky little stories that no one else tells you.
But Fred, especially now with the newfound Eric and Paul. I mean, Andy and Paul.
Don't ever call me Eric again.
Eric has always been positive. Andy and Paul, we're on board.
Right,
well, Eric's a homer.
You
that's
have to be this
homer.
Year.
I mean,
no, in all seriousness, the way that things are set up right now, I think, is going to help us in terms of this blogging thing. You know, with eliminating the blogging at practice, I think that works in our favor because
plus
I think
eliminating
we can,
some of our competition.
Yeah,
as places go out of business.
I think that's part.
Not
of
laughing
it.
At them going.
Yeah.
Out of
no, business. No. I don't want anybody to lose their job. You know that, but I think that helps us in terms of the competition.
Tree-hugger.
For blogging and stuff, I think we're able to get stuff up there a little bit more efficiently.
And I think, you know, it's just in terms of breadth of coverage, I think we've got it, you know, we've got it going.
Paul does talk a lot.
You know, now, of course, if you're looking for the dirt, you know, the stuff that gets people in trouble.
Is what it is.
You know,
then
we're
listen
not,
to this show.
We're not,
we don't write it, but if you listen here, you'll get
we
it.
We just get ourselves,
in trouble.
Right.
It's true.
But we're not looking under.
Yeah, like Paul. You know what he asked Sean Springs about?
What?
Did the Patriots run the score up on the Redskins 2 years ago when you were on the Redskins? He's digging for dirt.
But that is so ridiculous that you just say that like
it's
that.
It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Fred, look, can I explain? Can I explain?
Sure.
Can I
ask
explain?
About Spygate while you're at
can
it?
Can I finish? Can I finish?
Holy crap.
Sean Springs had brought up the fact that I asked him, you know, what attracted him about the Patriots, and he said
money.
About how great this organization has been, all the normal stuff, all the cliche that everybody says. And he said, hey, it's a lot better to have them, you know, play Brady and Moss and Galloway and Welker and not have to chase those guys around on the field during games, and it's better to do it in practice. So I said, you were part of that game here, that 52-7 game with Washington. He said, yeah. And then he said, he brought it up. I had mentioned the game, and he said one of the things that everybody talked about at the time was that the Patriots ran up the score. They didn't run up the score. They just out-executed us. They beat us. We tried. They were just better than us, and I was really impressed by that, and blah, 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 blah. He went on and on and on and talked about it. So it wasn't like I tossed a bomb in the middle of the scrum and said, oh, tell us about how the Patriots ran up the score. I didn't say that.
Felger Jr. over there.
And it was a one-on-one, too, so it wasn't like I was giving anybody else any other any ideas. He also described Joey Galloway's speed when he was younger. He said he's really fast now, but when he was young at Ohio State, it was just dumb. That's how fast he
dumb
was.
Dumb speed.
Dumb. Wow. It was
just
dumb.
Like scary speed. Why are there three bites taken out of the end of that big chunk of fried dough?
Yeah, what makes you think we want to now eat it?
No, it's split in half. You can eat the other half.
So we're just going to throw a half out?
It's overdone.
Maybe I'd like to make that decision for myself.
Just then eat some and shut up.
I don't want to eat your bite marks.
Look how it's cut, Paul. See? That's an even cut. Look at that.
The other piece is huge.
Just shut up and eat.
You are so gluttonous. You're what's wrong with this economy these
John
days.
From
People
South
like
Carolina
you.
Says that was the best MP3 ever. Great, long, but great. He says it was the best
long,
ever.
But great.
That's what she said.
Do you know Fred Kirsch is the best short pole coach in the state for lacrosse? He's working with a short pole all the time.
See, in lacrosse, there's short sticks and long poles. There's no
short
sticks
and long poles. Wait, why is there a differentiation?
That's the way they call it. The short sticks and long poles.
That's my new favorite phrase. Fred played a lacrosse team that had the state's best long pole.
Phil writes in, No Explode is arginine and creatine. Oh. It's a great supplement. You know arginine?
No, I don't know what that is.
Also, he wants
obviously.
To know, did Paris Lennon practice today, and how
yes,
did he look
he
in the
did.
3-4?
He was far away, and they were doing a lot of passing. Not much, but he took a lot more reps than the other day, which I didn't really see him take any. He had his helmet on and was on the field, which is a good sign.
And reports are that he's a very nice person to talk to.
I spoke with him. He is short, but not abrasive or curt in any way.
I thought he was like 6'1", 6'2".
Oh, yeah. Good Andy Hart one there. But he actually at one point was asked about Lee Bodden and said, well, he's a, can I say hell, he said. He turned and said, can I say hell, and wanted to call him a hell of a player. I was very impressed, and I was very impressed the way he downplayed. Those guys are going to get peppered with 0-16 talk for the foreseeable future, you know, with the 16-0 team, 0-6,
sure.
All that crap. And I was very impressed with the way he deflected those and downplayed them, but didn't do it in any sort of abrasive way. I think he's going to be, and he admitted he's going from, you know, very opposite schemes, Tampa 2 to the 3-4 here. But he said he's just trying to learn, and he thinks he'll be a good fit once he learns.
All right.
A cool look, too. He's got that linebacker look with the traps that come up and just looks yoked.
Does he wear a horse collar?
Charlie, I don't know. They were in pads.
Oh. When he plays, does he wear one?
No, I'm talking about he has it, not the fraudulent kind that high school kids
put
on to make it look like they are, quote, yoked up. This guy's got it. It's muscle.
Okay.
Fred just wants to know if he has one of those things in the back of his shoulder.
Wow. Steve Grogan, like.
They look cool.
Steve Grogan never looks cool a day in his life.
That's why I brought it up.
I like
funny.
Some people did, like Boz might have worn one,
yeah.
Those kind of guys.
Brian Cox had one.
Yeah. He looked kind of goofy with his,
well,
though,
He had a different version. It was like a straight wall that went up, so
that was the neck
go back.
Yeah. Right.
I like my middle linebackers having the horse collars.
Why?
It looks good.
I like my middle linebackers to play like Gerard Mayo, and I didn't see him wearing a horse collar.
I haven't seen NFL players wear that horse collar thing in years.
He wasn't out there again, by the way.
They go through phases.
You go watch some of the games that they put on NFL Network, the old games of like the early 90s. Everybody has one.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And then all high school kids had them to look big and different variants of it, and it's all stupid.
All right.
Paris Lennon
does. Phone number is 508-543-7482, and on the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Naturally. Good. The blog's great. I will be sure to get myself over to patsfans.com and tell people they're stupid. If they're ragging on PFW.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't ragging.
No.
They just weren't really mentioning us.
No one ragged on us at all.
No, it's not that, John. It's just that we don't get included in the discussion.
We're not included.
We just want to be in the game.
I mean, they're mentioning, like, people that, you know, single beat writers, and you're trying to tell me that we're not doing as good, if not better, job?
Come
you're
on.
Doing 10 times what those people are doing.
Well, I mean,
you have that access also, but I'm just saying, like, you guys,
right?
It's a lot. It's on a different level.
I mean, it's just that they're just so stubborn. They're just so convinced that, oh, they're nothing but a house organ. You know, I just don't think it's fair.
Well, there's also
you are, but the rest
there's
of
also
aren't.
An element to the fact that we're not, you know, we don't break news stories.
But
so I think a lot of people.
Okay,
you know,
let me
say
Mike
something.
Reese?
That list of people on that post today, very few of those guys have ever broken anything. I'll tell you that.
But I think, you know, they're looking for good, solid analysis and reporting. I mean, isn't that what we're providing? I think. You know?
Yeah, I would say you guys criticize more legitimately, more often than a lot of those beat writers.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it's a stubbornness to give us credit because then they feel like, oh, then I'm going to be called a homer
yeah,
too.
But I mean, on the other side of it, no one was putting us in the way. It was the best and worst of the media, and we weren't mentioned as the worst in any of it. There was a couple of mentions of us. One of them said PFW. Pretty much anything in PFW would be in the best category because they're homers and that's the way I like
it. Look, I admit I'm a homer, but I'm not doing the reporting. You guys are. And you guys are anything but homers. You hate the team. So, I mean.
Not anymore, Freddie. I don't know how much breaking news this is, but Greg Ellis did officially get released today by the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
So keep that on your radar.
I don't know if that happened like earlier this morning and this is just a recycle on ESPN, but it said breaking news, Greg Ellis released.
Okay, he's out there.
Apparently the Bengals weren't interested in trading for him.
Apparently nobody was.
I'm interested.
That's because of his contract. It was so big.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Patriots had,
he'll have
the initial
now.
Report had said the Patriots weren't interested in trading for him. We assume that was money-wise. If the Bengals really wanted him, they could have traded for him. But now I'd be interested.
Oh, I'm definitely interested in giving him a minimum, if I could get him for the veteran minimum or thereabouts.
Yeah, let him be the Fred Taylor of the defense.
Sure.
The guy who can't catch passes? Fred Taylor had a tough day catching passes.
Oh, he did
out
have
there.
A tough day.
There
today,
was one
generally.
Ball thrown at his direction. He never even slowed it down.
In consecutive reps, he went out of the backfield, did one of those little 5 to 7 yards, and then you do a quick cut out, bang, he fell on the turf. Then the next one, he barely slowed the ball down, went right through his hands. It looked like the Indy Hart in high school.
Now, in Jacksonville, was he known as a pass catcher? You know, as...
I don't think
no,
he.
I don't
really.
Think he,
I don't think he has
a...
an extensive pass catching background.
So, I guess they're just trying to see what he can do.
Well,
there.
You got to be able to do everything. Yeah, you know how they do things. It's like you know, talking to Baden and Springs. They lined up left, right, in the slot. Springs even took some at safety, on the back line. And both of them said, listen, they tell you what you're going to do that day, and then you got to be prepared to be able to go out there and do it. That's the way they expect you to do things. Andy talks a lot about Adalis Thomas, and they had him learn the defense on the inside, and then kind of branch out from there and give him some different responsibilities. That's the way that Bill wants to do things here. And if you're not capable of doing that, I think that's probably what separates – the guys that stick around from, like, the Eric Warfields and guys like that that never really seemed to get up to speed on
Victor
what they
Hobson.
Were supposed to do. Yep. Victor Hobson might be another one in that category. You're right.
Donald Hayes.
In a Hayes.
Yep.
Hey.
Okay, John.
One more quick thing. Paris Lennon, he doesn't sound – we always talk about the fact that whether it's outside linebackers or inside linebackers, there's a certain ideal – or not even ideal size, a sort of requisite – minimum size, and we always sort of like, oh, well, that guy's 230, whatever. He's not, he can't play linebacker here. But he's like 6'2", 235 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Are they expecting him to bulk up, or is this just an exception to the rule?
Well, I know we have this view in our mind, but there's a lot of guys that have been here that haven't been prototypically big. One of them would be Teddy Bruschi.
I was just going to say, Bruschi.
I just literally just spoke with both of them, and Paris Lennon is every bit as big as Teddy Bruschi, if not bigger, and certainly more muscular. So I don't think he's got a lot of room to bulk up because looking at him, he's worked pretty hard in the weight room and is not one of those guys that I think could add a lot of weight. But I didn't look at him and say he's too small.
Yeah, I would also say, John, that there's a couple of guys that we I don't want to say no for certain, but guys that have really been reported as the Patriots had interest in. And Jonathan Vilma would be one and John Beeson would be another.
Right.
And neither one of those two guys would, were in the 250 category for inside linebackers. So while I agree with you, I think 235 is probably a bit on the lower end of the spectrum
for that position, I think it's big enough.
And neither is Mayo. Mayo's not huge. I mean, he's bigger than
Mayo's a lot bigger than Lennon.
He's bigger than Lennon. He's bigger than Brewski, but he's not prototypically huge either.
Well, he's got to be close to 250.
Though. Yeah, I would say he's 247.
He's in the 242. 6'1",
okay,
242.
He's a little smaller than I thought, but
he's big.
He's
and guys like Vilma and Beeston, especially Vilma, were you know they brought a different aspect of it, which was speed.
Right.
But that I don't know. I don't think Paris Lennon is Jonathan Vilma fast.
No, I don't think he is, and I think he's actually more of not a run stuffer, but I think he plays with a physical style, which is interesting. But he obviously runs pretty well because he was a middle linebacker in the Tampa 2 for a guy who comes from true Tampa 2 schemes. So I think he moves around pretty well.
And the flip side of what I just said, too, is that really Vilma hasn't worked out.
Right.
Vilma hasn't been a really good 3-4 inside linebacker. So Beeson has been. Beeson's been pretty good in Carolina. But maybe, you know, what they saw in Vilma and what they thought they could do with him maybe hasn't really panned out.
Okay.
All right, John.
Thanks for calling in. And, of course, we can look forward to John's Friday outtakes on Patriots.com.
We could.
Every
We'd be
Friday.
Disappointed. But
Oh, boy. Wow.
He just got finished saying he was going to go on a Pats fan.
I'm just
pump
kidding.
Us up.
John knows how I am. He's the same way. You ever read his stuff? Very cynical, sarcastic.
I thought everything he wrote was very serious, Andy.
Yeah. The next will be the first.
We were talking about last week, Brady looking a little off and looking a lot better this week. Pogs from St. Johnsbury, Vermont says it was a setup.
A newbie?
Brady and Belichick conspired for Brady to miss a bunch of his passes, knowing that the media was there so that they couldn't get an idea of how healthy Brady really is. What do you guys think?
I buy it.
I'm going with it.
Okay.
I don't buy it. All those people went back to their national contacts. Yeah, Brady didn't look good. He's rusty. They're not going to be very good. He's still being limited.
So ridiculous.
Well, I agree, Bill.
You've been surprised as a complete off-the-topic tangent here of how positive the reports have been about Matthew Stafford?
Yes, I am, actually.
I'll let you know when I read a report about Matthew Stafford.
You haven't, like, even heard anything?
Not a damn thing.
Wow. You really do just shut it off when you
I went the whole weekend without watching TV. Whole weekend.
First of all, that's unhealthy. He should never do that.
He hasn't heard anything about Matthew Stafford since he came back from the
combine.
That's
how Paul gets his power, you know, by watching TV.
Fred, I mean, seriously, is there anything that can anything positive that can come out of that?
No.
I'm just going to go and seclude you like Larry Hagman and just not, you know, maybe going to stop talking
Larry
on Sundays
Hagman.
Now?
That's a great reference.
Larry Hagman used to not talk one day a week.
Who's really? Larry Hagman?
J.R.
Dallas?
Ewing?
J.R.?
I Dream a Genie. Tony Nelson?
But why is he well known for not talking one day a week?
With the great and lovely Barbara Eden.
Can you imagine if I tried to not talk for one day a week? It'd be impossible.
I'd love to see your head would come right off your shoulders.
Freddie, I mowed
the
lawn
this
morning.
Though, Andy.
You mowed the lawn this morning?
Quarter of six, I was on the tractor.
Your neighbors. Oh, then again, your
his neighbors,
neighbors
live
are so
five
far
miles
away,
away.
They don't even hear.
There's one guy who's kind of close enough, but he leaves
him.
For work.
But he lives in the next town.
No, he leaves for work at 6:10, so I wasn't worried about him. So, and the others, yeah, I'm far enough away, so.
You know, obviously he didn't care at all about his wife and
kids.
So
was it dry? There wasn't a lot of dew on the grass?
That's why. I went to get the paper. I had to get up and do a feeding, so I just stayed up at like 5.
Yeah.
And I went to get the paper, and I was like, wow, why is it so dry out? And I felt the grass, and it was perfectly dry. And I'm like, rather than waste 2 hours doing nothing, I went and mowed.
I'll tell you, I got to cut down trees. I am so sick of that crap falling out of the trees into the pool.
Why don't you get your son to do it?
Cut down the tree?
Something. Anything
to do something in the yard.
Yeah, that would be smart. I'd kill myself doing that.
Why don't you get him to clean out your pool?
I have to do it myself.
Oh, this kid is going to go through life, and he's not going to ever have to lift a finger.
Well, I'm just
kind of like us.
I'm kind of picky about the way it's done.
So and teach him how to do it right.
I would drive him crazy. It would just cause trouble.
So when this kid has a house of his own someday, he's not going to know what to do. He's going to waste money.
I never
on
cleaned
hiring
the pool
people.
When I was a kid. I didn't have a pool.
You're a pool guy at the country club.
You spent your summers on the Cape. You didn't need a pool. You could go swimming in the ocean.
Oh, I lied, by the way, about the pool, you know, what? The opening and closing.
Yeah.
$150.
That's all?
Yeah.
That's a good price.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that. He came by the other day and vacuumed.
Yeah.
I thought he was done. He took the cover off. He left, whatever. I thought he was done. He came by. No one was home. He vacuumed the pool, and he left me an invoice
in
my mailbox.
Nice.
Although I had no water left in my pool when he took the cover off. Did I tell you that?
No.
I had about 18 inches of water.
Was that right?
Yeah.
You had to fill it?
Yeah.
Did you bring in a truck or by the hose?
No, I just did it by the hose.
Wow.
That plane that crashed had props?
Huh?
Props?
Propellers?
Prop plane? No, going from Rio to
to Paris? Because
the
what is this, the 30s?
The graphic they were just showing had a prop plane.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I hope it better not have been, but that's crazy if it was.
I won't even fly to Indy on a prop plane, never mind across the Atlantic.
I think it was Rio to Paris, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything going over the Atlantic, I would.
Yeah, they just showed a graphic while they were talking over it on Fox.
That's an unbelievable story, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like you're lost.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's not like there was a magnet in the middle of the ocean that just kind of sucked it in.
That's the story on Lost?
Well, there's some kind of things, yeah.
I've never seen an episode of Lost.
I haven't either. I have no interest in seeing it. Based on the way all these people talk
Doc,
about it.
Doc, you watch it, right? You don't watch Lost?
He is just is lost.
Well done, Fred.
Hey, I'm here for you anytime you need that set up.
Are we going to take any emails before two?
Yeah, Paul in London writes in, "Hey, men of PFW, including Eric, as I'm in a good mood. I haven't written in for a while, so would like to give my thoughts on the movie, basically, and who the four PFW guys would be."
Good thing we got to those emails.
We've been talking about people still are sending
in. It's a great
in.
Topic.
Yeah.
I'm Matt Damon.
Based on the seven dwarves, I give you the four PFW dwarves. You can work out which one is which from the clues. They are Oldo, Drunko, Jumbo, and Homo. Oh, that's not right.
I'm Oldo?
No, you must be Drunko.
Oh.
Yeah. I must be Oldo. You're Jumbo.
I'm Jumbo, and he's Homo.
No.
That's wrongo.
Anyway, back to football. Two questions. One, is the re-signing of Tom Malone to allow Hanson to take a break during punting, which allows the two long snappers to carry on with as much as they can do?
We have no idea, because they had a punter. If you just wanted to rest Hanson, let Aaron Perez punt. Aaron Perez stunk in his tryout, somehow got signed, spent a couple weeks here, and got kicked out. Malone got kicked out a while ago, has always been far better than Aaron Perez.
Well, you know, that's a good point, though, because last week I think they weren't really having Perez do anything, and the two snappers had to alternate. So I think with the other punter today, they were basically punting at the same time.
So you think Aaron Perez was hurt?
No.
Does that make any sense, though? I mean, you're absolutely right.
Perez could catch a snap and punt it.
That's exactly what happened last week.
And
but
I think
that doesn't make any sense to me. If they wanted both of the snappers to be able to go at the same time, they could do what they did today with Aaron Perez.
Yeah, maybe he got hurt or something that we didn't know about.
All he did was field punts last week for Hanson, who, by the way, was bombing them all over the place last week.
Right.
Today,
he's a little up and down today.
Malone actually looks good today.
Aren't all punts up and down?
Malone actually had what I thought was his best practice
here. I think Malone has shown, and I think Andy wrote this morning, at times a very big leg.
At times is the is
trouble
the
is he short?
Consistency.
Is the problem.
He's a very small guy.
Today he looked pretty good.
He's too short. You gotta be 6'6" to play tackle. You gotta be over 6 feet.
I think it's more to give the two snappers
Ken
more
Walter
reps
couldn't have been 6 feet
together, so that they don't have to keep switching. And
right.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe his nose.
Paul nose also says, with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis not able to go on the practice squad this year, is there a chance that Bill Belichick, head coach of the 3-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, will choose to keep 5 running backs this year, since there is always a chance one or two will be injured at a time?
Well,
do we know for sure about that? Has that been reported? Because that was one of the things I've kind of I've poked around about, is practice squad eligibility for Green Ellis.
Did he play in too many games? Is that
he did play in some games? Now I don't know.
It's 6, right? Isn't it?
I think it's 6 in any one season.
Where's his thing?
He must have played. So we don't have.
I don't have the.
But keep in mind, you don't have Heath Evans either. So depending on how that roster spot of Heath Evans is, it an extra tight end?
Well,
is it an extra running back?
Yeah. Do you say for sure that what you know? Maroney, Morris, Taylor, Falk,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that Green Ellis would be number 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance. I think there's a very good chance that happens. We've talked about maybe 4 tight ends. You brought that up, I think, first, Andy, with no Heath Evans. Maybe all 4 of those tight ends make it. That's part of the, you know, the mixing and matching that I think Bill will probably weigh in his mind. You know, today they used a lot of, especially early in practice, they had a lot of 2 tight end, 2 wide receiver sets, which are kind of rare. They don't usually only have 2 receivers on the field. Today they had some lineups with Moss and Galloway wide with Watson and, I want to say, Baker at tight end with just 1 running back. Mm. So maybe if they're going to plan on implementing that as a bigger part of the offense, maybe you want that 4th tight end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of one of those, that's one of your 53 best players and you don't want to get rid of them.
Right.
Yeah, when we've seen the 2 tight end sets, they're in running packages as blockers. Today they were lined up as receivers, which was, you know, unusual.
It was almost like the tight end was in the Welker kind of position, kind of a little in the slot,
kind of
the second
thing,
the second tight end. Right. There's one in line as a blocker, and then the other one was kind of split out a little bit wider. And then Welker came in.
Well, that's what I said they would do.
Whatever they do is what you said they were going to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you have the luxury of waiting until after it happens when you say that.
Well, it's
that,
always
the best
to
time,
evaluate
the best
after,
time to assess.
After practice, Paul, what should have been done?
Fred Kirsch, right again.
In my Andy Hart not worthy, you know how I like to assess people not worthy of certain things, like being a two-time Heisman winner or various things?
Jason White?
Stan Van Gundy is not worthy of being a world champion coach in the National Basketball Association, so all in on the Lakers. I cannot allow Van Gundy to win it all.
But now you have to weigh that. Is Phil Jackson worthy of being the all-time win, most championships?
No, but he's more worthy. Van Gundy's a clown.
I think Phil Jackson
is a clown with a capital C.
And I don't say this lightly. I think Phil Jackson is one of the biggest frauds in all of sports.
He is.
I think that there's a guy you couldn't possibly win more than he has won and be as overrated as
he
is.
No question. I agree.
I think that's going to go back as being one of those.
But Van Gundy should
unbelievable.
Be a high school coach, never mind an NBA coach.
Well, I agree with Van Gundy. I told you, I played pickup with someone who played for him at the University of Lowell, UMass Lowell, and he was a clown then.
I mean, what? Ugh.
Okay. William Berry has some casting calls that he'd like to talk about. What?
Green Ellis played in 10 games. So
I don't think he's going to be on the practice.
I believe the email is right then.
Yeah.
But I think it's on the active roster for 9 games or played in 6 or something. There's some, like, funky
rules. Yeah, there are
rules.
Some rules.
They always
but
change
sounds like
they always change them, too.
Just when you think you know the answers.
Let's see, PFW writers and Fred. I don't know Fred's little title, but it is probably different. The polite part of this email has ended. Yes, Eric, I probably misspelled actors' names. First, when did Paul start work? I'm doing some T-shirts. The front will say Patriots fan. The back will say proudly hated by Paul Perillo since 1948.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure the year that you started here, but you've been covering sports since, you know, Grantland Rice days.
The dawn of time.
Yeah.
Were you amazed when they took the bottom out of the basket to play basketball and they didn't have to climb up the ladder to get it?
Now my casting choices for a Patriots movie, I assume a comedy. Adam Vinatieri is Dennis Hopper because all good movies need some Dennis Hopper. Tom Brady is Leonardo DiCaprio.
That was my suggestion.
Giselle is played by Bridget Moynihan. Bridget Moynihan is played by Roseanne Barr, or if she's retired, Rosie O'Donnell.
Ooh. Wow, no love for Bridget.
No.
Yeah. She's like a rail. Looks like a 12-year-old boy.
I think it's just to get at Bridget. Belichick is played by Leslie Nielsen. Bob Kraft is played by Joe Pesci. So this really is going to be a comedy. Andy Hart is played by Jerry Seinfeld.
Because you hate him.
Troy Brown is Denzel Washington.
He's mad because you didn't say Matt Damon.
Idiot. Right. Deion Branch is Wesley Snipes. Randy Moss is played by T.O. Wes Welker, Danny DeVito. Paul, I figured you'd laugh at that one.
I like the Randy Moss is played by T.O.
Tyra Banks and Ty Law in a dual role are played by Whoopi Goldberg or Della Reese.
Oh, jeez.
Discuss. Eric Scalabrino.
Is Tyra Banks in the movie?
He's losing me.
The tie. I think he's making a play on words with Ty Law and Tyra
like
Banks.
A, Friday see? Outtakes.
You see? Now you guys are on board with me. Worst email letter we have right here.
Eric Scalabrino is played by RuPaul.
You're back, William. That one got me.
Brian Cox is played by Bernie Mac's corpse. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Brian Lowe is played by Jason Alexander, only if he can act annoying enough. Wow.
I think Jason Alexander could pull that off. He's quite annoying.
Mike Vrabel is played by Woody Harrelson. Paul Perillo is played by John Candy. No, he's dead. Jackie Gleason. No, he's dead. Dom DeLuise. No, he's dead. I have to be a new guy because all the people with Paul's body type are dead.
Belushi?
Wow. Josh McDaniels was played by Pee-wee Herman. Charlie Weiss is played by John Goodman. And Fred, he writes your paychecks. Do you really want me to tick him off? It is bad enough that Eric is now angrily silent. If Fred is mad, you actually have to deal with it. Jonathan Kraft is played by Steve Carell.
And Christina Acra is played by Jenna Fisher, Pam from The Office. She's good at showing.
I needed that because I don't know who Jenna
Fisher is. She's good at showing what she's thinking as she is sexually harassed.
That's so appropriate, then, for scenes involving you, Fred.
So that's William Barry's take on the show.
I would go with Danielle Fischel.
John Goodman is good for Charlie Topanga. Weiss.
Oh, that's right.
Charlie Weiss and John Goodman's a good one.
And Fred doesn't sign our checks, by the way.
I don't actually sign them.
No.
Neither does Mr. Kraft.
I make them positive.
That's a good recall from that show.
I don't actually
get
a check.
That was a long time ago, that show.
Direct deposit.
Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
She's in movies, you know.
Topanga from Boy Meets World.
What kind of terrible
Christina
movies?
Acra.
I thought they were of the level where I would see some boob, and
yeah, one of those,
you just get teased and never really see any boob.
Because she was pretty
one
well,
of those National Lampoon movies, right?
Yeah, but you never see any boob.
No.
Salt from Orlando writes in. He says, after the release of Aaron Perez, what is the roster number currently at?
91.
Well, they signed Tom Malone to replace him, so the numbers have not changed.
Well, technically it's not, but it's 91.
91 right now.
Listed.
Right. And you would minus the 12 signed. Draft picks have not signed, and as they do sign, people are going to have to go by the wayside. So several people that are on the roster right now will not make it to training camp, right?
Indeed, Paul. Indeed.
Today's lunch was brought to us by
Mark
and Cheddar. And he's got an email that I'm going to read because he bought
okay.
us lunch.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for the
explanation. So now buying us lunch gets you your email read at least in the first hour of the show.
I'd probably read it anyway. But anyway, he says, the reason I hey, guys, and Eric Thanks. And Andy.
Screw you,
The
Mark.
Reason I say Eric and Andy is because recently they seem to be having a bit of a bromance, and honestly, it's very disturbing. That's true.
I will be honest with you. I needed to tell you guys that I think I am really feminine.
This is like a
what is going on here?
I watched an hour and a half of John and Kate plus eight last night and felt exceptionally, I don't know what the word
inspired?
Is, not masculine.
Just so you know the endless stream of shows and movies and whatnot that Beth makes me watch. Last night, she said, I don't mind, I'll go upstairs. I said, yeah, why don't you do that? And I watched a rerun of Two and a Half Men instead.
I was watching John and Kate plus eight for an hour and a half.
They need to rename that show now, right? John and Kate plus hate?
Well, no, it should be John, Kate plus eight. Because now they're total. They literally, one is with the kids, and the other one is off. Like, she goes on book tours, he's with the kids. When she returns home, he goes on vacation.
She wrote a book?
She's got all kinds of books and, speaking
she's a
engagements.
Fraud of the
yeah.
epic proportions.
She is a total biznitchy.
Somehow, he had an affair on her, and everybody in the public is taking his side.
Is taking his side?
Yes, that's how much of a biznitch is Andy just
wow.
She
okay.
is.
Is that okay? Biznitch? Okay.
See Paris Lennon now asking for permission to...
Well, I'm on the radio, and he was talking to a crowd that can choose whether or not to use the quote. They don't have to air it. It's not his duty.
Let's see. On with...
those kids are cute, though.
Mark's email says, hope you're enjoying lunch today.
I think that's... I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Yeah, don't you worry about
Thanks, Wes.
I'm unable to listen nice live, so we'll catch up on the podcast when I get back from umpiring hockey, the kind where the whistle is continuously being blown. Recently, due to exams, I've been able to
Wait a
listen
minute.
Live.
Umpiring hockey in England? Is that what this is?
When the whistle's constantly blown, is that like field hockey?
Maybe.
Oh, it might be.
Oh, yeah.
And they have men's field hockey over there, right?
Yes.
It's your dream. They wear skirts, Eric.
Oh, boy. Recently, due to exams, I've been unable to listen live and haven't emailed in for a while, so I have a few comments I'd like to share about the last few weeks. I will start with Eric, Scalavino, pompous artist. A few weeks ago during the shows, I was trying really hard to pick fault with your work. I was desperately trying to find something to criticize, but having listened to each show during that week twice, I just couldn't.
Here we go.
So I have to say, Eric, you were perfect.
Yeah.
You were away for the week and didn't appear on the show. You should do that more often. Now on to Andy.
Uh-oh.
Bromance aside,
screw you.
You have been... the go-to guy the last few weeks. From
Thanks,
the
Mark.
Heart, though a ridiculous name, is a very good read, especially after reading the rubbish that is John in L.A.'s comments.
Wow.
I say that so Fred can enjoy listener-on-listener fighting. One thing, though, Andy,
Uh-oh.
I know you just had a baby, but can you stop being the guy who does, I end every sentence with baby, baby? Do you do that? I don't know.
I'll ask you guys. Cause...
Oh, on the air. You sometimes say baby. At the end, yeah. I know what he's talking about.
My Dickie V?
I'm back,
baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
Anyway,
PTP,
Paul.
PTP, baby.
Hope the
Diaper
Diet,
Dandy.
I hope the Diet Pepsi arrived today. Otherwise, you will be in a good mood, in a mood when you hear this. Paul's calls has been a poor man's from the heart. Do your job right. Still compared to outtakes, it is like it is being written by a genius. Fred, your fair and balanced views recently have been impressive. When the email of the other week talked about your objectivity, they could not have been more wrong. You always step in and say what the rest of the league is thinking. Keep it up. I don't know what that means. On to my question for today. The Guskowski-Scalavino contest. Will Eric win via a no-show on part of Guskowski? If so, will there be a trophy for him? I get the feeling that he has never won anything in his life, so it'd be nice. Have you ever won anything,
Eric? He's an angry man, that Mark from Cheddar.
He really is.
Have you won anything?
Yeah, sure.
What?
We won...
Who's we?
Football team?
Who's we?
We won the New England Prep School Athletic Conference Championship, undefeated, beat Bill Belichick's Andover team.
Was Bill on the team at the time?
He wasn't on the team at the time.
Were you relevant?
No. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were hitting 68-yard field goals.
Won the spelling bee when I was in the town spelling bee when I was in
Is that right?
Junior high.
What was your winning word?
Mesmerize.
Nice.
You use it in
but
a
then
sentence. I was mesmerized when that man walked.
I was mesmerized by the size of your fat head.
Wow,
it is true. The Velcro on the back of this visor, as so, Paul pointed out, is working overtime.
Screaming.
I got robbed though, Fred, in the States because I was going for the title to get you to go to Washington for that Scripps National thing. Down to me and this girl, and I know they pick the words randomly. But I had gotten the word mohair, which I had never heard at the time.
Paul needs mohair.
Yes, well played.
Word.
Got it wrong. Next girl comes up, has to spell it, says to me afterwards that she was wearing a mohair sweater, which is ridiculous. The winning word they gave her was mascara. I mean, come on. You tell me that's not a setup?
Yeah.
Please.
Well, you know, we brought back Eric's fun facts without him even knowing it. So there you go.
That had fun involved?
P.S. Mark says, I love the whole Bill Belichick Patriots head coach thing that has taken off since I started it. Now I feel like a real contributor to the show.
Jeez. Pat himself on the back.
That's awfully ambitious there.
Paul's not happy.
Brian in Tuscaloosa, Fred, you have my utmost loyalty, but I got to get Paul's back on the seafood issue. I'm originally from Boston. I do not like seafood either. Ironically, I love sushi, but to me, cooked seafood is an acquired taste and one that I do not care for. It just tastes better raw. Now, Paul, do you like sushi?
To be honest with you, I've never tried it.
Why wouldn't you be honest with me?
I'm being honest with you.
So why do you have to say it?
I have to let you know.
Generally, so he's not honest with you.
When you don't say that, does that mean you're not being honest with me?
At times, yes. No, I've never tried.
You've never tried sushi?
Never tried sushi.
I don't think you would like it.
And I won't.
I don't think, yeah.
Not even the fake stuff?
Because you're very stubborn.
Well, it doesn't look like something I would like, and I don't like fish at all. So why
but
should
they
I?
Have some
and if you don't like
fish,
it cooked,
right, or something,
why would you like it?
I don't
raw?
Understand this.
Wait a minute. Let's get back to this for a second. You've never had something that you just looked at and said that doesn't really look appetizing or appealing in any way, and been kind of reluctant to try it.
I have never not tried something.
Okay, well, you're a bigger man than
never?
I.
Never,
never.
Wow,
yeah, that's saying something because I'm pretty fat.
I've always tried it. Afterwards, I may not try it again.
So if I put, like, Rocky Mountain oysters in front of you, you'd eat them?
If they're, you know, it's legitimate, yeah. If it's, like, through a restaurant or something, yeah.
Oh,
you never had
testicles?
Those?
I've never had those, no.
You lived in Denver. Why didn't you?
I never lived in Denver.
Well, you rode in the Rockies.
I was a Bronco fan.
You were a Broncos fan.
Today's
Have
question.
You guys ever had something that you just looked at and said, I don't like the way that looks and I can't eat it, I can't try it?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I mean, sushi is the thing that sticks out to me, but there's definitely other things that I haven't tried that I just looked at
like
and said,
eel?
I don't like that.
Eel?
Well, that's all, to me, that's all seafood. I don't like seafood. I haven't tried every single kind of seafood there is to see if I like it.
My parents made me try almost every kind of seafood.
Cauliflower.
Which is why I know I don't like it.
Cauliflower I've had before. I didn't like
cauliflower
it.
Really doesn't have a taste.
No taste.
I hate cauliflower, and I hate lima beans.
I don't like lima beans either.
Beans are... There's different kinds of beans that would fall into the category of I don't really like the way they look and I can't even.
And
try
I don't
them.
Like Brussels sprouts.
I've tried those. Don't like them.
I'm okay with those.
A little
more taste than a cauliflower.
Anyway, Brian says today's question: who had the better cameo, Drew Bledsoe and Jerry Maguire, or Tom Brady and Lawyer Malloy in Stuck on You? I never saw Stuck.
I didn't
on
see
you.
Stuck on You.
I think I didn't. Didn't even know they were.
It was
in
a Farrelly Brothers film, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't remember them
Farrelly.
Being in it.
Who's
Chris Ferreira?
stuck on you? What they were on that?
Stuck
Matt
together.
Damon. That was Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear.
It wasn't.
Oh, I never saw that. Oh.
It was okay. You all right?
What the hell did you do?
My tongue accidentally touched the microphone.
Oh, Andy just spit up on himself.
Oh. I don't know who's been here. Those EEI guys.
That's your microphone.
Here. But EEI comes in here. Soccer
people.
We need
to get our own little.
Yeah, those.
I don't remember Brady Flex, and Lawyer in that movie.
I do not either.
I remember the movie. It's not terrible.
Is it like Paul Perillo's appearance on the top 10 list? It didn't quite make the final airing?
That's really sad.
And finally, Brian says, Patriot hater Marshall Faulk sucks, and leave it to him to damper Brady's return by proclaiming OTAs are pointless on the NFL Network.
Maybe for him, because, you know, maybe he didn't take his career seriously.
As a player, do you think that...
he sucked.
Do you think players think OTAs are pointless?
No.
What did you say, Freddie?
Do you think players kind of think OTAs are pointless?
Some do.
Some do, yeah.
My guess is Richard Seymour was out there thinking, I don't really need to be out here.
Guys like Brady don't think they're pointless, but I bet you a lot of other
guys And certainly
guys
not
do.
This year.
Right.
Well, this is a whole different thing for Brady. Right. But I'm talking about, in general, veterans of that stature. I think a guy like Brady and Peyton Manning, they probably don't look at it as pointless.
No, they love it.
But I'll bet you Randy Moss looks at it as pointless.
I don't know.
Especially for a new guy who's changing teams, has to learn a new system. He probably loves the fact that he has the chance to get up to speed.
That's a different situation. But
it's like summer school.
Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork and guys that have been around, I'm sure that they don't look at that as something that's vital to their
success. Especially when they don't have as much that they have to learn.
It's a team-building thing as much as anything else, too. I mean, you talked about, Fred, at the beginning, the installation of all the system and did they forget it. But I think the coaches probably look at it as much in terms of bringing everybody together and off the field as they do on.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be that, you know, plus just learning things because you don't have pads, so it's not football. I mean, no one's hitting each other, so it's really not football yet.
You know, the term Patriots hater is thrown out there a lot for national guys.
And when you're on the radio.
Marshall Faulk is really a Patriot.
He doesn't like us.
He's really a
person.
Bitter. It's personal
bitter.
For him.
Zach in Florida, about loss, he says, it is right. The plane crashed because of a large electromagnetic blast. And no, I don't have anything football related to talk about.
Who was that?
Zach.
But he does want to know who our fullback is.
We don't have
one at the moment.
Like we haven't really had one for the last 3 years.
Hochstein is our fullback.
Unless you count that Eric Catani, Navy kid.
I don't.
Who technically might be a fullback. But
I don't know why he's here and the other two Navy guys aren't.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Todd Porter says about the plane. You saw a thing on the TV with props. He said the plane that crashed was an Airbus A330, a big jumbo jet. The planes looking for debris are prop planes so they can fly slow and look for wreckage.
All right, so maybe that's what they were talking about.
Well, they hope to crash in the same spot. Who flies over the Atlantic in a prop plane? Unbelievable.
These guys are doing their jobs.
They're never going to find that plane.
They've already found
debris. Some debris already.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a needle in a haystack. Didn't they say it's like 15,000 feet deep in some places or something ridiculous? Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yep. They'll be lucky if they can recover the black box to find out maybe...
You know what would be really cool? And I know we, you know, but to take all the water off the earth and see what it looks like. There are mountains under the ocean that are taller than Mount Everest.
Yeah.
You know, that would be unbelievable. Anyway, let's see.
Crickets.
Are these the things you think about when you're supposed to be paying attention in those meetings you go to?
Nikki in Alaska says recent news had Giselle as the top paid model, earning something like $25 million per year. What do you peg Tommy at, salary plus endorsements?
I have no idea.
Does it really matter?
That's an angry answer.
No.
It's
just a questionnaire.
No.
It's just a fun fact.
I'm not questioning.
I wasn't
your
saying
or
it
anything.
To be mean. I was just saying the fact that he's married to her with all that money, does it really matter?
No,
what
but he
makes?
Just wants to see how he compares.
His cap number is 14 and change. Yeah, so we'll use that as
what's
his.
What's just 10? Isn't it like 6 and 60? Something like that?
I don't know.
What was the contract that he signed? It was six. Wasn't it 6 years and
something
60
like
something?
But let's just use his cap number. I mean, that's a way to gauge the money. 14 million.
$14 million. I don't know how many million he can make in endorsements.
Well, doesn't he have an ownership stake? Isn't he one
of
those?
He probably makes about $20 million a year.
Okay, we're done. Fred has deemed we're done. It's 20 million.
Yeah, we've discussed this far too long, I guess. So
let's get back to
draining cool the world of water.
Next topic. Let's take all the water off the earth and see how long we last.
Get to the point.
Sorry.
John in South Carolina, let's see.
Let's get Mount Kilimanjaro
John
in the Indian Ocean.
John wants to rub it into me and tell me that his pool has been open since April. Thank you.
Yeah.
Before Fred goes off, please realize that the only time Boston sports win is when I fail to believe in them. The 1986 World Series, my fault. The Giants Super Bowl, my fault. The Bruins bounce out of the playoffs, my fault. I want you to know I will do my job as a fan in doubt. Here are some of my past predictions and famous sayings. No way Brady can replace Bledsoe. He can't throw the deep ball. Here's another. I just don't see how the Patriots will be able to stop the Rams' offense in the Super Bowl. Who is the Falk guy? He played in the European League? Yeah, welcome to the practice squad. Deion Branch, way overrated. We won't even notice he's gone. For the love of God, why do we keep playing Castle? He just can't understand the offense. And what are we doing picking up Moss? He will ruin the team. So those are some of his comments.
Who was the guy in NFL Europe?
Falk.
Is it Warner?
Falk. Yeah, Warner played in NFL Europe.
I don't know.
Neither Falk, Kevin, or Marshall played there.
With the mass of football predictions under my belt, I want to make the following predictions. Brady does not throw one touchdown. Watson cannot be productive at tight end. There is no way our outside linebackers can put pressure on the quarterback. The secondary will be worse than last year, and the Patriots do not make the Super Bowl. So with that said, Patriots are definitely going to win the Super Bowl.
Reverse psychology.
That's right.
The gods know when you're using reverse psychology intentionally.
You'd think.
Everyone's really quiet. What's going on?
We're letting you read emails.
Yeah, you're in a good email group.
You yell at us if we interrupt you when you read emails. Now we're waiting patiently for you to read an email.
Well, I'll tell you what. Instead of reading an email, why don't we go to another MP3?
Okay.
Is this premium?
No. This is the latest from
Stevie Hawking?
Stevie H.
Yes. Stevie H.
So let's hear it.
There's a rooster joke.
Hello, ladies. How's it going? I was busy postulating.
Who are you talking to, Steven?
Oh, crap, it's my wife.
Is it that whore from the strip club again?
It's the PFW guys.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. She gets mad all the time, but we have great makeup sex, so no bother. Anyway. Here is my questions, and please suspend reality if that is possible, Paul. You're the head coach of Buffalo on opening night. What is your tactic going to be to defeat the Patriots? Oh yes, and joke time. What is the difference between a freezer and Eric? A freezer does not fart when you take your meat out.
What? You need to start censoring
those
these
are pretty
Stevie
vulgar.
Hawking ones.
Yeah, those are pretty vulgar.
It's pretty disgusting.
It takes you a second to figure out what he said, but it's vulgar.
Well, you know, he's in that wheelchair all the time, so he just gets nasty.
That's not an excuse.
Who are we to censor such a great mind?
That's true.
Wow.
He was postulating.
We have great makeup sex, so it's all good.
Now that's good comedy. You know, you compare that to the Weiner line, that's much better.
Of late, our listeners have far outplayed the Weiner line. I mean,
I know, Paul, you can't weigh in.
No, I agree. I'm not a big Weiner line fan, Fred.
The Weiner line
there's only like two or three guys that I find funny on the
Weiner
line.
Well, the Weiner line as a concept is very funny. It's just that the people that do it.
But every day it's about 5 minutes long, and it's I think there's about 45 seconds worth of stuff it's actually funny.
I mean, we had two ridiculously funny today in these two MP3s.
Right.
Those were ridiculous.
That's good stuff.
The first one was better.
I don't think EEI
would play.
Well,
the first one was a classic.
Yeah.
Treehugger. That's the new bar.
Treehugger.
The new standard.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Stephen Hawking is a classic.
No, Stephen Hawking is a classic, you know,
he's
ongoing
got
classic.
Good stuff, and then he ends with a great joke every time at Eric's expense.
It's an ugly, vulgar, uncalled for, distasteful joke.
Uncouth.
Well, today's was vulgar. And
well, you know, Stephen Hawking is an expert on black holes, so.
Now, we played that thing today, right? The disclaimer? Okay, good. So we'll be back on Thursday.
Big heads, Bill Polian.
The
I would be trying to get T.O. involved early and often. I mean, I know that's kind of obvious, but T.O. is always great early on in his new teams in the honeymoon period. And I know we think the secondary is going to be better, but find out.
Yeah.
There's all these new bodies out there. Even if they are better, they might not be better on opening night.
I agree with
Go
Andy.
After him.
I would not disdain the running game,
Unless
but I would
come
out. You don't
have Marshawn Lynch, right?
I would come
They're
out
suspended.
Yeah, I would come out throwing the football, and I would definitely
to
try
Lee
to press
because he's great.
Well, I mean, now you have two quality receivers on the outside, so that might help you. I would try to put some pressure there on defense. I would roll everything over. I would make sure, and Buffalo was guilty of this more than anybody that first year, because they let it happen twice. Both of their games, they got beat the same way. And they left those guys out on an island against Randy Moss, and you can't do that.
He's gone, right, Jabari Greer, the guy who
yeah, I think
was
so.
Close but never made the play.
So I think that you need to get some doubled up, roll up the coverage on Moss's side, make sure that they don't get you beat deep, and I would dare them to run. I would flood the field with defensive backs if I was Dick Geron. I would put 5 and 6 defensive backs and say, if you want to run, I know I'm going to have a hard time stopping it,
yeah.
but go ahead. I'll take my chances and hope I can stop you in the red zone mm-hmm. and force you to kick field goals.
Yeah, that sounds right. can't disagree.
Fred will let you know after the game, of course.
You can't give up big plays. You can't let the Patriots get, especially you know, the home opener, Monday night. You can't let the crowd get going and have everything rolling. And all
you
of a
need
sudden,
to extend the game.
Yeah, if you can take some time off the clock and get some people antsy and people wondering where all the fireworks are, maybe you can stand a chance in the second half. Otherwise, it's over.
You hope when the Patriots get impatient. You know?
Yeah.
Our next emailer says, "I wish I knew about your show earlier. It's going to be helpful when the big show gets boring." Three questions. What stuck out, good or bad, in today's OTA? Is there any progress on Vince Wilfork? And is Crable practicing with the first team?
Crable is getting a lot of reps. I won't say first team, but he is noticeably in the mix with Adalys Thomas and Pierre Woods. Mm-hmm. My boy Vince Red is not.
No.
Vince Red is on a different level.
There was
He's
a
off
time.
And off like working in like it's teamwork where it's passing and every pass rush. And Vince Red's off, like, working with Matt Patricia on just pass rush moves. It's like he's clearly a developmental prospect still, and Sean Crable is trying to bite his way into the lineup.
Right.
I think what stood out was Brady being sharper, a lot sharper today.
For you.
Yeah.
Yep. Paul?
Just the stuff that we talked about, I feel like there's a lot of
Sean Springs.
Well, there's a lot of depth, I think, in the secondary. I think that the newcomers almost across the board have really shown up. The receivers with Lewis and Galloway, I think, have been there. I think Springs, like you said, and Bodden, I think, have been there. And also, I think the young cornerbacks, and I don't mean necessarily the rookies, but Jonathan Wilhite involved in everything.
Okay.
Andy brought up Brandon McGowan, not necessarily a young guy, but a new guy coming over playing safety. Those guys have been all over the place.
Patriots are loaded.
Various packages.
And as far as Vince Wilfork, I haven't heard any progress on his contract at all.
He's been doing a lot of tweeting about he's having a fundraiser selling raffle tickets. He is a very active tweeter, but none of it is useful.
Did you think it was any of those tweets talking about him in terms of negotiations?
No.
Did you think it was odd today that they had one of the papers, I think it was the Herald, said unless there was some progress made over the weekend. Did you read that?
Oh, yeah, about the possibility that he might be at practice
today. Yeah, whether or not he'd be there today, depending on if there was progress made over the weekend. Almost like they knew that they talked over the weekend. I didn't read anything that indicated they had spoken.
I didn't either. That took me a little bit by surprise. It was sort of like a tucked-away note that was almost a throwaway. But, yeah, it struck me as weird.
I think that's somebody that inadvertently said something they didn't necessarily mean to say, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
I wouldn't read too much into that.
But that fundraiser is happening in this area, isn't it?
I think it's tomorrow.
It's a raffle thing, and season tickets and something else.
Because I think that was part of the putting two and two together, was that there might have been talks with Vince this weekend, and he's having a raffle in the
up
area.
Up in Patriot Place?
Don't know exactly, but
wanted to get Patriot Place in there.
Okay.
Presented by
Raytheon.
Oh, no.
And just imagine Jack Nicholson as Bill Belichick. That would be entertaining. So. No?
Nah, maybe 15 years ago, but he's a little old right now.
He's caught up on that looks thing again.
I've given up.
I didn't say looks, I said old.
I know, but you're saying he's too old now. Like, what does that mean? They can't make him look younger for TV?
Yeah.
Movies?
George from Goffstown, New Hampshire. Hey, PFW, Fred, Andy, Paul, and Eric. Did you guys catch the chat? Ty Law did on NFL.com. He said the Pats would have been 19-0 if he were on the roster. He said he would have covered Plaxico. I still think he'd like to come back to New England. Problem is, we don't need him now.
I don't know if you don't need him.
I think they've...
I think at this point...
I think he's worn out his welcome around here. They got enough guys there, I think, that could make up for it.
Yeah, they certainly have a lot of bodies there. But I'm a big Ty Law fan.
I'd rather have him than not, him right. But I don't think it's...
And I'd also rather put him on the field, practice field at least, and say, okay, yeah, he doesn't have it anymore. But I would give it a chance.
And I think they would be 19. Would have been 19-0. I'd be on the team. How's that sound?
Well, that year they might have been. Yeah. Actually, they might have been. Todd writes...
What year are you talking about?
Eric
only
says...
One year they were close.
Todd says, Eric, we don't want to hear about your spelling bee. Tell us about your porn career.
Nice.
It's time to bring back Eric Facts of the Day, but this time they need to be real. Mark and Shetta is right. Paul's calls is just page filler until From the Heart can be posted. And Andy, thanks
for... posted at the same time.
And thanks for the Bodden interview, but you're risking getting a Patrick Chung rep with Paul. You're putting way too much effort in the blog for Paul's liking.
Wow.
That wasn't really a lot of effort. I transcribed
I don't really
Lee Bodden,
any
and
of that.
Craig from Boxborough said, how come there was no Lee Bodden from last week? I go, okay, I'll post my transcript. And I put it in a comment. It's the longest comment ever.
On the phone right now is Steve from Winchester. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Steve?
Fun at the OTAs today?
Yeah,
sure.
It was great.
Yeah. Evidently, I just waited for Andy to post something.
Paul's upset now.
What's going on? We've seen Casario out there throwing and blocking. I was sorry to see that the Pats brought in a second punter. I'm sure that Eric had his hopes up for a week or two there, huh?
Yes. No. Not a Ty Malone fan.
I was thinking, since it sounds like Eric's challenge with Gostkowski isn't going to happen, I thought I could propose a couple of other ideas for competitions.
Bring it.
All right. Fred. We saw Brady lay it on pretty thick with his glowing piece yesterday on his doctor. What is it, Ella Trache?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's normally your department. So I thought you could challenge Brady to a puff piece writing contest. And, you know, you could roll it out why the team's going to go 19-0 or why these new rookies are the best ever or something on Rodney's retirement. You can come up with something like that.
Well, I do every week. But besides the point, I think what Brady did was basically a press release for that doctor. That was a favor.
And it's his friend. It's his golf buddy. They play football on Super Bowl Sunday at UCLA. I mean,
you know, because all we heard about was, my God, if Brady doesn't come back, this guy's going to be sued, you know, until forever.
Well, not only that, but this guy is a national level doctor. Even though we don't know who he is, he's not Dr. James Andrews. He was the Lakers team doctor and this team doctor.
LA Kings,
and
I think. Yeah.
His practice could be greatly affected by ruining or helping Tom Brady's career.
Right.
So if he's truly a friend of Brady's, there's a lot of interest there for him to come out of this looking at least okay.
Right.
And I found it personally very reassuring that the doctor himself said it was a great procedure and everything was going terrific. And now the fans can rest. I mean, seeing Brady on TV, that's one thing. But when the doctor says he did a great job.
Right. Have you ever heard a doctor say, well, it really didn't go as we planned?
Well, I said that to Paul not too long ago. All these athletes have surgeries, all sports. And the day so-and-so just came out of a very successful surgery to repair X, and I'm thinking, when exactly are they going to announce, we botched that one, his career's over?
We got on there. We didn't see that happen.
Because that's a report I want to hear.
We
blew it.
I nicked the artery, and all hell broke loose.
But I think still, Fred, you can still challenge Brady to some puffery here. He's pretty good, but...
I think Fred's better. Because there was the time when the Patriots were in second place, and in Fred's edit letter it said, now the Patriots are where you'd always thought they'd be, tied for first. And they weren't. He didn't even let the facts get in the way. He wrote they were tied for first when they were flat out in second place.
Theoretically, they were tied.
No, they weren't.
And then if Brady comes back and wants something on the field, maybe you can test out that knee with a three cone. That would be fun. But I didn't want to leave Paul out. I mean, I think that everyone would enjoy Paul challenging his new binky to an in-game push-up contest.
Well, which one?
Patrick Chung?
Patrick Chung.
Paul has his push-up bra.
I'll take Chung in that one.
Wow.
You're not going to take Chung in a push-up contest against you?
Because if he can do one, he beats you.
And if he could do 10, he'd beat you.
No,
what's the big
come
deal?
Come on. I bet you I can do more push-ups than you, Andy.
Now, there you go, Steve. You got the contest.
What about just regular
push-ups?
The
perfect push-up? Because
yeah, you have to use
it.
The perfect push-up.
Well, I would need some time training with it.
Yeah,
20 years younger than me.
Better on radio than a push-up contest.
That's true.
You're the one who wants it.
We could put the mic underneath so you could hear, like, every time we go
we
down.
We could do it right on the table here.
101, 102.
Right. Fred will not get to 100.
Fred, could you do a one-arm push-up?
Probably.
Have you ever done a one-arm push-up?
Yes, I have.
Really?
No, you haven't.
Sure I have.
Remember when we tried to get Chris Ferrer to do that in the office? And he practically broke his arm.
You just leave him alone.
I actually thought he was going to break his nose. He went down so hard.
Yeah, he
did. He
went down harder than Eric on a Friday night.
Oh!
Baby.
Wow.
Baby.
All right,
you really
Steve.
Have a fat,
all right.
Fat head.
All right.
All right.
All right. All
right. See you, Steve.
Have a good day.
You too.
Let's see. We got a lot of emails coming in here.
All right, then.
Read one.
Let's see. Sam in Chicago writes in. Thanks for the show. He says, last week I was hiking to the top of Yosemite's Half Dome.
Isn't that Yosemite?
Yosemite?
Yosemite. You did not really. What? You did not really.
But
that
even
that
worse, the poor guy was hiking to a mountain that, if they drained the ocean, that would be considered a tiny mountain
right,
compared
it would
to
be
the ones
a
in the
molehill.
Ocean. I mean.
While taking a break on the side of the trail, two guys walked by, and one had a Patriots champions hat from Super Bowl 39. I had my Pat's hat, but it was in my pack. I called out to them, and as they passed, let's hope Brady comes close to his 07 season, eh? The guy with the hat just looked at me like I was an idiot without saying a thing and kept going. I thought, what a jerk. Where's the 9,000-foot elevation Patriots camaraderie? Later that day, when I got to the top of the Half Dome, I spotted the guy with the hat having lunch against a rock. I took my pack off and got out my Pat's hat and stormed over looking for some acknowledgement. You like the Patriots, yes? The guy was still silent, staring at me. And then as Fred said in a German accent, we are from Germany. And my friend doesn't speak English, you know, where this hat is from. Yes, we found it in an apartment we are renting in Berlin. I laughed, said he was wearing the best football team's hat in America, which made them happy, and I snapped the attached shot. And he has a shot here, which I'm opening now.
You didn't bring should up have, Sebastian Vollmer?
I was going to say, he should have brought up
Sebi Vollmer. Well, he should have brought up Sebi Vollmer. I got
Sebi.
I can't help
I love
it.
How he calls him Sebi.
Sebi? Yeah. Anyway, that's a good story. So they spoke German, so they didn't understand what you're saying.
What's the picture?
Yosemite?
But I think the point of the story
Yosemite.
Is they found a Patriots hat in Berlin.
And right. Just,
there
yeah.
you go.
Maybe, was there an NFL Europe team in Berlin?
Thunder. Maybe so. Rohan yeah. Davey left it there. He was the MVP of the league the year he was there.
Let's say that it was Rohan Davey's hat.
All right.
That'll be the story.
That's what I'm going with.
All right. Where did Paul go?
I don't know. He just ran out. I think he might have
probably
had to have an Andy Hart issue.
Nature call.
He wasn't looking good.
He never looks
yeah,
good.
Yeah, but well,
he's old, fat, and bald.
He was kind of squirming in his seat a little bit.
Oh, he's definitely having Andy Hart.
Kind of like Andy does.
Yeah.
No question.
Ewan writes in, love your radio
McGregor?
Show. I listen to it every week. What is going to happen to Eric Alexander at inside linebacker with Mayo, Bruschi, Guyton, and now Paris Lennon coming in? He hasn't been impressive on defense, but has been productive on special teams. Will he make the team as a special teamer, considering the loss of Larry Izzo and Kelly Washington, or do you expect that he will be cut? What do you see happening with Alexander?
I think he's firmly on the bubble. He got a lot of reps today.
Paul's back.
Is tough to gauge. Obviously, Mayo's not out there, but there were four inside guys that I saw get a lot of reps, and he was the fourth guy. Actually, some, and we're warned not to say first team or anything, but some initial sub-packages in certain segments of practice, he was on the field with Pierre Woods, Adalis Thomas, what looked like an early unit. So maybe he's in the mix.
Yeah.
He's a guy that they've always seemed to like, but he's never been healthy.
Well, physically, he's impressive. I mean,
what's going on
big
with Peyton Manning's head?
He looks like you.
He looks like an uncircumcised penis.
He looks like you when you came back from that lacrosse tournament last week.
Yeah.
It's awfully red.
I mean, yesterday. He's still glowing.
He's still got a little bit of a glow going over here. Fred, not Peyton Manning.
All right.
yeah, I'm not. I'm surprised Alexander's lasted with this team as long as he has. But, and I agree with Andy. I think
It's really hard to tell with him. I think he could easily get cut this year.
I think the problem with him is durability. He's never shown the ability to stay healthy.
Even at that was why they got him, right?
At LSU, yeah.
He was banged up.
He even was banged up. I think that physically he's impressive. He's a big, strong, fast guy.
Always productive in the preseason.
And he's a very good special teams player when he actually plays. So he looks like he has the physical traits to be successful, but he can't stay on the field. And I think at some point you have to just pull the plug on the guy and say we can't get him healthy enough where we can get him the experience level that we're going to feel comfortable with him being a regular contributor on defense, unless, of course, it's the AFC Championship game.
Then and you start him, and he leads the team with tackles.
I think at some point you have to pull the plug on that experiment. Now, we'll see. Maybe he stays healthy this summer. And
is he good enough to be Larry Izzo's spot on the roster?
Is he a good enough special teams player? I would say yes, but can he do it for 16 games? Larry Izzo played 16 games every year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he can do that.
Or is your guy Vinny Churchu Larry Izzo?
I got to think Paris Lennon's arrival is bad news for Vinny Churchu, because Paris Lennon can do what Vinny Churchu does plus play defense.
True.
He's always been a good special teams player based on the reports that we read out of Detroit when Lennon came here, right?
Sure.
And he's like the tackle on the punt team.
Oh, yeah. The there four guy?
Is. All right, Robin in Alaska has some...
By the way, I saw Matthew Slater in post-practice work. That's the other thing. Vince Red, at the end of these OTAs, the opportunity guys, the young guys, continue to practice for a little while, and the veterans go do sprints. Vince Red is with the opportunity guys. He doesn't get to run sprints. So another reason he's kind of buried. But Matthew Slater, you know the drill they do where they have to catch a kickoff, but just as they do, they have a ball in their hand, they throw it up in the air, try to catch the kickoff, and then catch the other ball.
Right.
Watching him do that is worth the price of admission. He threw the ball up, initially caught the kickoff, but the ball he threw up was way too far away, so he started diving and fumbling. When he dove for that one, he dropped the one he caught as the kickoff, dove, and the one that he had thrown up bounced off his face. Wow. I mean, it was just pure unintentional comedy.
Poor Matt. Robin in Alaska says that Brady should be played by Chris Hemsworth, who played George Kirk, Captain Kirk's father, in the new Star Trek film. By the way, anyone see that yet?
Haven't seen it.
I've seen it. Very good.
You like it?
Yeah. Troy Brown, it's Terrence
great.
Howard.
Is it great?
Very good, he
said. It's very, very good. Very good.
Very, 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 very good. It's very good.
Troy Brown, Terrence Howard, Brewski, Dean Cain. I could see that.
Dean Cain.
Who's Terrence Howard?
Superman.
I don't know.
Remember that there was a Superman with the... Terry Hatcher.
We know who Dean Cain is.
We know who Dean Cain is. You were Terrence saying Howard.
Dean Cain's a former Buffalo Bill.
Right. But you were saying it like you didn't know who he was.
No, I know who Dean Cain is. I don't think it fits for Brewski.
Bledsoe is
using
Nathan
your logic.
Fillion,
doesn't look like him.
ABC's Castle, Fox's Firefly. Who's Nathan Fillion?
ABC's Castle, Fox's Firefly.
I don't know who that is, though.
Castle's a new show that's been on for about, I don't know, a couple of months.
Belichick is Beau Bridges.
Matt Castle?
Crennel is Tyler Perry, made to look older and more curmudgeon. Weiss is John Goodman. That's the second John
That is
Goodman.
A good one, the Weiss.
Kraft is William Shatner, doing a much more reserved Denny Crane.
Who's Denny Crane?
Is he
his Boston Legal character.
Boston Legal. P.S., this is kind of humorously absurd how much time this topic has gotten, but I guess this is what happens in the offseason.
It's a great topic. Today. We have football to talk about today. We can talk about that on Thursday.
B.C. quarterback transferring because he was suspended for academic reasons.
Hey, the guy
probably
with cancer,
see that.
The linebacker cancer guy.
Herzlich.
Is he a potential Patriot?
Herzlich,
you know, assuming he gets
like
past cancer? Because I saw his build is Patriot. He's a big dude.
Yeah, well, he was, by all accounts, slated to be like a top 10 pick.
No, I know, but now I'm saying. He's a, you know, Brandon Tate. Too much value. We got a guy with cancer in the second round that could have been a...
Well, I don't know. What's he going to do in terms of college?
What?
Is he going to play another year?
I don't know.
I would assume he'd try to play, and if he can possibly come back, I don't. That's a very, very serious form. What I'm told, a pretty serious.
So why is he so confident he's going
to
be fine?
I just think that's the way you have to be if you're in that situation. You can't sit there and say, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back."
I'd be running up credit card debt.
But from what I'm told, that's a very serious situation that he has.
So he's not going to play football again.
It'd be hard.
That's what she said.
It's not impossible, but it would be it'd be quite a story. It's not like I don't want to minimize other cancers, but there's been
except
a lot of people.
Except for one in particular. On this microphone,
comes and goes.
All right.
you stumped him.
Not so hot, Amy writes
it. I don't know what
to say. she says, hey, guys, Stephen Hawking is such a great mind. Why is he stealing jokes from Family Guy? I hope Doctor can pipe in the audio from this link. You got
wow.
it, Doc? Let's hear it.
On the show.
Ah, Ryan, I am glad you could come to my faculty cocktail party. Let me introduce my wife, Helen.
Damn it, Steve, you forgot to pull out the cheese and crackers.
Helen, don't start with me in front of our guests. Do you think I like hitting you? I am sorry you had to see that.
Look, sir.
So that's from Family Guy. All right, well, anyway.
Stephen Hawking is a real person.
The joke about Eric in
no,
the
but I mean, like, you're allowed to make jokes
right.
that
Two
overlap.
Two people can
and,
do the same thing.
I mean, it's not like Fred, where he took a joke from a comedian 20 years ago and just passed it off as his own.
Right.
He made that up in Tampa.
The joke about Eric in the fridge made me laugh so hard, and it was such a surprise, it made Diet Pepsi come out of my nose.
Oh, thanks, Amy.
Very unladylike, and made people look funny at me at work, but oh well. Fred, can we buy Butler's jersey? And Paul, is it worth buying one? Is he a longtime player for the Pats?
I'd wait.
I like Butler. Andy doesn't like him. I like him.
Well,
he's going to be here at least 2 years. So.
Why is that now?
What?
Well, they won't cut him, right? He's going to be on IR and then, you know.
Darius Butler?
Why is
he going to be on IR?
Who am I thinking of?
I have no idea. Jonathan Ogden?
The third round pick.
Tate?
Brandon Tate.
Oh, I'm thinking of Brandon Tate. I'm sorry. Brandon Tate.
I like Butler a lot. I think he's got a future.
These guys looked at me like, what do you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was just out there.
I just saw him pick off a pass.
Brandon Tate's the guy that I'm thinking of. Anyway.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Or did you just...
P.S.
I was trying to name another guys to see if he...
Andy and Fred, why are you not following me on Twitter? I don't follow people on Twitter.
And Andy does. That's all he does.
Just a few techie people.
See, I just follow funny people like Shaq and Mark Cuban. Whose link this morning was Cuban investigated by SEC for insider trading, and he posted the link to the story. Thought that was funny.
Funny.
Is that one of those things? See, I couldn't possibly be guilty. Why would I be making light of it?
No, I just think that's what he does.
Taz from Toronto writes in, first I wanted to say great work with the blogs. Andy's by far the best, but Paul's are a close second. Where are Eric's?
I'm busy putting stuff
Eric's
up on the
website.
Eric's
are on the website, patriots.com.
Even though I'm one of the biggest Andy Hart fans because he is rude and crude,
which I love, Taz.
He is also honest and interesting. Today I find a lot in common with Paul, since, like Paul, I will never eat anything that simply does not look good, no matter what, and since I am the biggest loss expert ever. Happy to see that Paul watches. My question is, after watching two practices, I was wondering what you guys thought the starting defensive lineup will be, as well as the nickel coverage. Also, have they tried any I formation in practice? And if so, who acted as the fullback?
Dave Thomas. I saw him take one rep.
So I've seen tight ends occasionally line up on the wing, coming motion, and serve as a quasi fullback. I haven't seen any I formations.
No.
Have you?
No. Thomas was offset in a 3-point stance, and they've all done motion into the backfield.
Yeah. How about that? That's a good question, though. If you had to say right now. Starting defense.
Will Fork.
All right, I'll go Will Fork, Seymour, and Warren.
Yep.
What if Will Fork's not here?
Adalys Thomas and Pierre Woods outside.
Mayo
and Bruschi inside.
Bruschi inside.
Okay, so there's your front seven. Now,
James Sanders.
Now it gets really dicey.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We say James Sanders, then we say now it gets dicey.
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell
you
what.
Can you say it?
You know what?
Possibly rub him on the wrong way. He comes at you like a pit bull.
I overheard... Sanders telling PR that
and
he,
that's
was,
not a
he was a little
that
afraid that he was getting requested so many times by the guy from PFW.
Right, he's getting a restraining order.
What
did you request today?
Talk to Tyson DeVry.
And the PR person said, really?
Really?
you stumped a PR person.
Oh.
Who should ostensibly be looking for that kind of coverage of
right.
all of his roster.
Yeah, but this one is not going to be around for much longer.
Oh.
The PR person, I mean.
You don't have to be mean about it.
Neither of them.
All right, so let's just say
Sanders,
Bodden, and who at corner?
Jonathan
go,
Will.
I'm going to go Will Height right now based on what I'm seeing. Sanders and Merriweather at safety.
Sure.
Nickel package will include, in some way, shape, or form, Springs and Chung.
Right.
What about Wheatley? No love for Wheatley?
Nope.
I just haven't seen him get the reps.
Tough game played by tough men.
Mm. What are you saying? He's not a tough man?
No, I didn't say that. He's got weak wrists.
Oh, hey, who knows?
What? He broke both wrists. He's got weak wrists.
There's a very good chance that all the guys that we mentioned, some of them, at least one of them, may not even make the team.
Yeah.
Got a long way to go until September.
That's true. Who that you just mentioned doesn't make the team?
I didn't say, I said there's a chance that some, you know, like Sean Springs. Who knows? Like right now, I see him doing all these different things. Maybe Bill looks at it and says, yeah, he's doing all of this, but
none of them are good.
He's going into his 13th year. I can get a guy that's going into his second or third year to do those things.
3-year deal, didn't he?
That's totally hypothetical. I just told you he's my new boy.
I think he got like.
He's my new boy.
$3 million, $2 million in bonus money?
I have no idea.
I don't think he's
substitute him for one. You know, Baden's on a 1-year deal, right?
Yeah. Seriously, maybe what is Baden wrong with Peyton Manning's head?
Nothing.
He looks just like you, Fred. That's exactly what you looked like
he
yesterday.
Got sunburned.
Oh, I don't look
like a camper. You look worse.
You looked way worse yesterday.
Yesterday, your face looked
you
like
really you were.
Yeah, but
bright.
He looks like he's wearing an orange.
Your
head
whole
thing.
Head looked like you'd spent the night.
Yeah,
in,
you
in
had
a microwave oven.
No, but at least it was even. He's got like this strip going across his forehead.
I agree.
He fell asleep.
I agree with Fred. It did look like it was all in the forehead.
Yeah,
and he has a big forehead.
What do you care?
Anyway, Chris Ferreira says, I just thought I would chime in to mention to listeners that after the live broadcast of PFW in Progress, jump over to patriots.com to check out audio interviews from Richard Seymour, Teddy Bruschi, and Wes Welker from today's OTA, as well as tons of photos in Scalavino's practice update.
If you're listening,
and the blog.
If you're listening to the show, aren't you already on patriots.com?
No, don't worry about that.
So you don't really need to jump over to it since you're already
it
on it?
Press shift F5.
You have to just give him trouble. He's trying to promote what he's doing.
Yes, we have to give him trouble. You just meet us.
How about the blog? Maybe he should promote the blog.
I think we've promoted the blog a lot on this show.
It's a good blog.
People can find it.
Todd wants to know, with Rodney probably going to retire, who is the odds on favorite for the longest drive contest? Brady's pretty good, but I'm guessing he won't compete. It's the golf tournament is Monday.
Next week, yeah.
PFW in Progress, be there live to
tape.
Do you
think he'll compete?
We're not going to be there live.
To tape, I said.
Right.
Do you think he'll compete?
Yes.
I think he will.
Sure.
Sure.
I don't know.
Now, the Herald did report, we talked about this earlier in the show, that Harrison's going to have some type of phone press conference tomorrow.
Conference call. Why do you struggle so much?
It's not that hard of a
conference
concept.
Call. It's not Yosemite. It's not that hard.
Are we assuming that he's going to retire?
Yes.
Is there any other reason he could be having this?
Yes, well, to say he's coming back with the Patriots.
Yeah.
What about, I haven't decided yet.
No.
But no,
I don't think
that's an option.
If you're coming back, you don't need to hold a press conference to announce it. You just come back.
Well, I think that
in fact, I'm not even sure Bill would allow you to have a conference call.
It's two things. If he were coming back with the Patriots, I think he would be here and wouldn't need to have a conference call.
That's right.
Okay. If he was coming back with someone else, I don't think the Patriots would allow him to have a conference call.
The other team would.
That's true.
They only do that when Bill Parcells is.
So that's why I feel like he's probably going to retire. When you say that, the signs would indicate those are my signs. To me, if you're having a press conference that's sanctioned through the Patriots, probably tells me you're going to retire.
In fact, isn't it possible we get a release tomorrow morning from ESPN or NFL Network or blah, blah, blah that says Rodney Harrison to join?
Yeah.
And then later in the day we have the conference call?
Yeah.
Don't you think that their PR people could be possibly
he's worked it out with them that I want to make the announcement first, then you can
could
put
be.
The press release out.
Could be, but they might be looking for a splash as well.
Maybe.
If he just announces it, they might not get the bang for their buck, whereas if they announce it, you know what I mean, in scrolls and such. If
or
he
they
just,
could
if
do
he
it
just
simultaneously.
Retires,
you know?
But if he just retires, and then I don't think people are obligated or they're not going to report where he's going. But if it's announced in a release, Rodney Harrison to join the lineup of whoever, Fox, I think there's a chance they're involved.
Let's see. Steve writes in, great show. Find it interesting that Nick Caseria was actually on the field doing some hands-on coaching. I know his background is in coaching. Did Pioli ever do this? Will Caserio have any on-the-field responsibilities on game day? He's probably the only director of player personnel doing this in the NFL.
I told Paul he's the most versatile man in the NFL. He throws. Yeah.
Pioli never
corner.
Did that.
He's everything.
Pioli never was ever, not once, did I ever see him do any kind of coaching on the field.
No.
Interesting side note, Joel Collier was, they announced Kansas City hired him as an assistant to Pioli. Now, as far as I can tell, if I remember, he had 1 year, I think under Parcells, where he worked in scouting.
Right.
But every other year, he was a coach. So he's kind of going the opposite direction.
And was he out of football last year?
I think he was.
He probably was, yeah.
So he's always been – he's a career coach with 1 year of scouting experience. As it was with the Patriots, I want to say back in like 94 or 93.
Yeah, 90s.
I remember when he came here. There
Early
was one
90s.
He had been to the Patriots, and I think it was under Parcells. And now he's going to go back into personnel, obviously. He's going to be Pioli's assistant. So that's kind of a strange dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. TG
Maybe
and
he'll
NJ.
Be doing some of that stuff in Kansas City where he's out there
Speaking
coaching.
Speaking of Kansas City,
too.
Did you continue to see the notes that Mike Vrabel is avoiding all voluntary? And
yeah. And I read
they're expecting him Friday.
I read your blog. That's where I got my idea to do it.
To do what?
A blog.
Well, I am the forefront of blogging.
Right.
Well, you know, the Chiefs get what they deserve. And the Broncos. Let's see.
Collier was a nice man.
By the way, I do have to laugh. I've read so many stories with McDaniels met with X.
Scheffler,
to clear the
Tony
air.
Scheffler.
And I'm thinking, imagine how much time he would have to actually coach
if he didn't
have to clear the air
to clear
with
the
everybody.
Air.
But I mean,
imagine if
it.
He coached in L.A.
Mangini, have you heard about him?
See what he did
All the problems that he's having yeah. with his team?
No. Who?
And Mangini.
I wanted to bring that up. What do you think of that whole story about the rookies going to his camp?
I don't like it.
Do you think that it was like... It was
mandatory
voluntary.
He put him on a bus.
Yeah, I don't necessarily care as much about the transportation as I do about the mandatory part of it. You know, was it some sort of almost like hazing? Like you have to do this as a rookie?
I don't know.
All the rookies were required to go to his camp. He has a camp
in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Oh, like a coaching camp.
Yeah,
he took a bus from Cleveland to Connecticut.
10 hours. Yeah. And for underprivileged kids, it's a great camp, truth be told. I mean, it's obviously for a good cause. But I guess he sort of made them go, made all the rookies go and help coach.
Uh-huh.
And him and his coaching staff flew. Now, I guess, according to Florio, they went back on the bus with the players.
Was it some, like, bonding thing? They were supposed to be on the bus, screwing around, having fun, getting to become teammates.
I'm wondering about that. I mean, that might be a positive spin-off.
Yeah, I don't think...
But the mandatory part of it kind of concerns me. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It sounds like a bonding.
I don't like it because, as the owner of the Browns, they're not his employees; they're my employees.
Well, that's part of what I'm talking about.
But Randy Lerner gave him the keys to the house.
Yeah,
when he hired him before the GM, and the whole way that went down, he handed him virtually full power.
Don't like it. Don't.
I wouldn't either because I don't think Mangini is deserving of that. But he did it.
No, I don't.
What's the word?
All
articles in the beginning said he was smitten with Eric Mangini.
Yeah.
That was how it was described from day one.
I don't not like it for your reason, Fred, but I'm wondering if it's right that he makes it mandatory.
No,
for
it's not.
I don't know if that's. Now, I don't
I'm
know
okay
if it was
with
truly
it on the
mandatory,
coaching
though.
Angle from, you know, at all levels, high school, college, coaches try to do these things that force players to be in a group environment and build. You know, just literally just screwing around, just building some kind of bonds.
Right, but isn't there a way to do that without making the
Maybe
event
not.
Your camp?
Maybe not in this day and age.
I want a team-first attitude.
For example,
players are working the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back.
There's no name on the front. They've done away with the Hall of Fame thing, right? They're not doing that this year?
Right.
So that was one of those kinds of things. Maybe this was just the way, and he kind of gets, you know, two birds with one stone. He benefits his own charity and is bonding. And it's a way maybe to force him to do something that's hard to criticize. Maybe it's a charitable event, so I probably won't get in trouble. Won't, you know, it's kind of an out for him.
Yeah, like I said.
Oh, now it's against the rules to make him do charity.
I don't have a huge problem with it, but I do think there is an element that's kind of shady to it.
Especially when the rookies aren't under contract yet. So technically...
Eric's here.
What?
Sorry, Eric.
Who do you hate the most
Go
on
ahead.
The show?
Go ahead. Talk.
It's pretty equal.
All three?
Who do you,
or is it just
come
me?
On.
No, hate's a strong word.
Wait a minute. Word. No, I'm going to take exception to that. I don't give
you
anywhere near the static.
If there's a bromance on this show, it's you two.
No, that's not true.
That's because Eric and I are clearly at a higher intellectual level than you are.
No, you're working on other projects together.
That's true.
Yeah.
We have had a moment.
Are you two collaborating?
No, he's just my editor.
Well, you're collaborating.
You're a little behind, by the way, Paul.
That's true.
And you're a big behind.
But Buck said about 400 pages for that, 100,000 words.
107,000 words.
100,000
words. But he said that would be over 400 pages.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to get anywhere near that length, right?
No, there you can do novels for like 250, 300.
What did you say?
Nothing.
You're asking Eric what kind of length he would like.
Oh, is that what, yeah, see? That's the kind of stuff that doesn't come from me.
You two are equal. You two are pretty equal.
And you two are collaborating together, if that's what you want to call it.
No, I don't want to call it. That's what Fred called it.
Let's see. TG and NJ says, please solve the injury report fiasco now. How dangerous is it if the teams say nothing at all? How dangerous is it if they tell all? And what system do you think Belichick would like to see utilized? With Delaware legalizing sports betting, what implications can we expect to see this upcoming season?
Well, you cannot force teams in any way.
Well, what is the fiasco
to say everything?
Right,
because you don't know what they're holding back.
What fiasco are we?
Well, I think there's
the injury report.
Too much
everybody mocks it. Nobody takes it for any value.
So if you don't put anybody on, you get ripped for not announcing that you know your sub left tackle was injured. If you put too many people on, you get ripped for making a mockery of the system. So there's no happy medium.
And the NFL wants it out there to distance themselves from information being valuable to gamblers.
Well, this is a good off-season topic. We should probably get into this, you know, sometime in June, early July, talking about the whole
June 2nd today.
Well, we got OTAs coming up. There's still stuff going on, but you know, the whole injury report as it relates to gambling and Delaware now trying to legalize sports gambling in particular and teams doing the lotteries and
including the Patriots.
Yeah. So, you know, which isn't sports betting, first, obviously, right? but you know, we should talk about that at some time. You know, it warrants more than the last 10 minutes of a show, though. What?
Was there tampering between the Patriots and the lottery? Feels like Albert Haynesworth contract. The NFL legalized gambling, and boom, it's like the release went out instantly.
It's obviously,
Patriots
obviously
announced stretch
we
to get deal with
anticipating the announcement. So
they've announced the development of one.
I'm going to buy it. Now, is this going to be like the Red Sox one, where you can win like season tickets and?
Well, yeah, you can.
Other
and
things
actually,
beyond just money,
you'll be able
I
to
like
have
money.
Even if you lose, you'll have a second chance to win other stuff,
just like the Red Sox.
Yeah,
because Patriots.
And also TG and NJ says, seriously, Fred, where are we going to put all the world's water while we wait for you to explore the ocean floor?
In space. It'll just float around. Have you ever seen water in zero gravity? It's cool. I'm not first person. I mean, I've seen it on video.
How about the...
It's going to be hard to pull it all back in, though.
How about the NASA astronauts drinking urine up in space?
What's that now?
They brought a recycling machine that takes their urine and turns it into drinkable water so they don't have to bring as much water with them and they can go.
I really don't get that.
What?
Urine is your body saying, this is the stuff I don't want. You're giving it back to it.
No, but they're taking out the stuff you don't want.
The body's saying, I don't want this. I took out what I wanted. Here's the rest.
The water is used to pass it through, but then there's good water in there still.
Apparently there is, but I don't want to drink it. What's a new take on you can take
doesn't everybody drink
his
that?
In and beat urine and take urine and beat his in?
That's the first thing I thought of.
Paul.
Urine and be pissing?
Now, they wouldn't have to drink their own urine if all the water from Earth was floating around space. They could just reach out the window and grab
some
water.
That's right.
Another salient point.
They'd have to desalinate that.
You see this?
Salient?
Yeah, this thing good. With, we're not going to have space shuttles anymore, and we got to pay Russia like $50 billion or some ridiculous number every time we need to do something?
I don't know.
Who planned this? Obama?
I don't know.
Have
you guys been following this?
No, I only follow.
They're putting
Patriots
the space
OTAs.
Shuttles out of circulation, a bunch of them, so they're not going to have enough to do all the things we need to do to keep up with the space program.
Yeah,
and so Russia is ahead of us somehow and has more stuff, and we're going to have to pay them some ungodly amount of money every time we need to do something.
Well, the space shuttles were supposed to be phased out,
right?
Then they had the problems a few years ago,
right?
And I didn't think. They were going to come back with a space shuttle. They were supposed to develop a new one, but now
there was a
well,
there was
Russia's
a design.
Going up there anyway. Can't we just hitch a ride with them?
We are, but it's costing us like $50 billion every time or something. Obama just spends.
Plus, we're supposed to be the leaders in that.
Well, the International
we're not the
Space
in
Station is
anymore.
More of a joint
Let's
effort
be honest.
Anyway.
I know.
All we have is bigger military.
It's troubling.
Other than that, we're not the leaders. It is troubling.
Todd wants to know, Paul, are you going to have a really short chapters in your book? That's half the reason the Da Vinci Code was so popular. Short chapters make people feel smart, and it is the perfect toilet book, but not for Andy. You're going to have short chapters, Paul?
Well, that's what I have right now. But
short chapters
very
are
much
good.
In the developmental stage. Because
you feel like you can get something done and have a good stopping point, and then you say, oh, the next chapter is only 3-4 pages. I'll keep going.
I'm just wondering overall how much I'm going to have to write when it all is said and done. I'm trying to get an idea of where I am in the whole stage right now.
Well, you're right when you're done.
No, I understand that, but I'm wondering how much that's going to be when I'm done.
You're right when you're done.
You're right until you're done. That's a very common.
You don't know until
what he said.
You don't know until you're done writing.
How he said
written,
it is kind of
so.
The way. That's like a very.
No, I know. You tell
thing.
The story, and when you're done, you're done.
When you're done, you're done. Right. You're right when you're done.
You don't try to fill pages
unless it's a Paul story.
Unless it's a Paul story. Then they don't
fit the template.
Then Michelle won't change the template no matter how many times we redesign the paper. So you have to come up with 1,000 words, or she'll be mad.
It's true.
Hi, Armando from San German, Puerto Rico. It looks like every year we have to play against the Colts at Indy. Why?
They cheat.
And remember, in the early 2000s, they used to play at Foxborough every year. Did you tell Belichick not to use the red bad luck hoodie anymore? Yes, we did.
Well, now he has,
yeah, he has a
blue,
navy
Boston
blue
Patriots
throwback
one.
Boston Patriots.
You see
Patriots
the inside track, by the way?
Yeah, I couldn't believe they actually wrote about that.
They actually wrote about the Boston Patriots sweatshirt, giving credit to his girlfriend for giving him some fashion tips and looking
That's
better.
Tips.
The pro shop is so mad.
Why, they don't have them?
They're not getting that sweatshirt until July. It got brought up in a meeting.
Oh, my God.
Look, no, but,
July is
but
only next
see,
month.
See, and I hope someone from the pro shop is listening to me right
Ken
now.
Ken Flanders.
Look at it as an opportunity to promote, pre-order.
Pre-sell.
Yes. You know, get it going. Don't bury it. You know, celebrate it. We're going to get them.
Right.
You know?
We should do another hour. This is going
Besides,
well
it's
today.
June. You don't need a sweatshirt right now.
Also, Armando wants
Remember,
to know.
Remember, I've been mowing my, I was mowing my lawn at
well,
5:30
that was your
this
fault.
Morning. I'm
That's
starting
not
to run
exciting.
Out of gas.
This show is good.
Getting tired here.
Armando also wants to know how I made out with the Claritin issue. I actually started buying the CVS brand of Zyrtec. Works great.
You're okay.
Better
Works.
Than Zyrtec?
Well, I didn't get the Zyrtec, so I don't know.
I thought you had said Zyrtec made you.
Years
you
ago, were... I took Zyrtec, and it made me drowsy. But
it worked as far as clearing
oh, yeah,
up your.
Oh, yeah, but it made me drowsy. You know, I can't handle that.
And the one that didn't make you drowsy didn't work.
The one that made me didn't make
Zyrtec
me drowsy works, but I get all like
oh, that's what
anxious.
It was. Yeah.
So why don't you take both?
Weird. Makes me feel
weird.
Because
if one's an upper and one's a downer, you'll
no,
move
this,
the middle.
This over-the-counter Zyrtec, which is CVS brand, it makes me a little bit anxious, but not as much as the Claritin, and it works.
You know times are tough when Fred's buying the CVS brand.
Times are tough, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Connor's going to Zavarian right. now, so.
And he's playing in some, he's just starting a new lacrosse league.
Let me tell you.
If I can't come up with the dough, he ain't going.
No show.
Just go to that print and press you have down the basement.
Yeah, Ross in London.
You and Obama. Print more.
Ross in London says, Fillion was also in Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, which
oh, I
was
like
set
that
in Boston.
Show. Ryan Reynolds was in that.
That was yeah. Tufts Created and based on Boston Ave Pizza Place. I forgot the name of it.
Espresso's? Mystic Pizza.
No,
that was a movie
Andy's
with
right.
Julia Roberts.
It was about a pizza place in Boston.
Oh, so one of the characters dated Nomar Garciaparra on the show. One of them dated the lovely Tiffany Thiessen. And the show starred the funny Ryan Reynolds, yep. who has somehow managed to snag Scarlett Johansson recently.
Yeah.
Loving the show as always. Fred is reminding me of the Scarlett? Gay military guy
You're
in American
idiot.
Beauty today with all his push-up talk.
You're a gay military guy?
Gay Remember
military
that movie, guy? American Beauty? Oh,
Never
that was a good
it.
Movie. You
yeah,
would
the
like
Marine.
That.
You're
that
was
yeah.
it good or great?
It was a great movie.
Eric?
Yes, it was a good movie.
Didn't it win the Oscar that year?
I believe it
Who's
did.
Who's the gay yeah. military guy?
Chris, what the
yeah,
hell is his
Chris,
last name?
I know who you're talking
How can
about.
Can I not remember that?
He's,
Yeah. He's always you know, plays these.
He played.
He's
he
a
played
character
the,
actor.
He was the father of the kid who was filming everybody.
Yeah, right. No, I know the character. I'm just trying to figure out who it was.
Yeah, it's, what the hell is his last
him.
Name? Chris.
You're looking at us.
IMDb, Doc.
Yeah, Doc. I mean, come on. He's looking at
really,
us. He's just watching the show. He's not even working.
Well, that's why he comes down. Tomash was supposed
TV.
To do it, but
Tomash
would have
had this by now.
Yeah, Tomash needs to get his chance. You're Drew Bledsoe,
hey.
And Tomash is Tom Brady.
That's ridiculous.
Overrated.
He's like
too
Tommy
comfortable
Hodson.
In his position.
Let's see.
Chris Cooper.
Chris Cooper. You're absolutely right. That's who it is.
Chris Cooper.
Yep.
Hang it with Mr. Cooper.
Mark writes in, finally around to Tuesday's show and instantly thought about Kurt Russell playing for
Belichick.
Belichick.
I can kind of
yeah,
see
I
it.
Can see that.
Or Herb Brooks.
Herb Brooks he played.
He played Herb Brooks.
Oh,
yeah.
He played Herb Brooks.
Yeah. Yes.
Because Herb Brooks is dead.
and wasn't
Belichick.
An actor.
yeah. Just say nothing of the fact that he was a hockey
he
coach.
He was a hockey coach.
Well, you get one coach to play another. It's
All right,
coach
well,
you can coach.
Quick ending of the
yes.
show with an over and under.
Over.
This is from Oliver.
The show is going under. The show is going under. I'm going to go with the under on the show.
Oliver, yeah. Oliver is from Sydney, Australia. Adalys Thomas, 5.5 sacks.
Over.
Sean Crable, 2.5 sacks.
Over.
Paris Leonard, 3 sacks.
Under.
Gerard Mayo, 4.5 sacks.
Under.
Oh.
It's not his job.
Teddy Bruschi, 12 starts.
Under.
Patrick Chung, 5 interceptions.
Under.
Tom Brady, 40 TDs.
Under.
Passing. Tom Brady.
He's not going to run for 40?
40 rushing.
Well, it could be 30 and 10. You know, I just want to make it clear that those are
no, it couldn't. No, it couldn't be. The only breakdown there was 39-1.
Yeah. Tom Brady sacked 35 times.
Under.
Randy Moss, 20 receiving TDs.
Under.
Wes Welker, 110 receptions.
Under.
Joey Galloway, 450 receiving yards.
Over.
He'll
get 700.
Ben Watson, 5 receiving TDs.
Under.
Fred Taylor, 6 rushing TDs.
Over.
Brady plus Moss plus Welker combination, 3 more years together.
Brady plus. Under.
All 3 of them here, 3 more years.
Under.
Bill plus Brady combination, 4 more years together.
Under.
Over.
Saying over. Okay. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition
that
of
was
PFW
a good
in Progress.
There were some good ones there.
Good over-under by very, Oliver from Sydney,
very
Australia.
Good over-under. I'm going to print that
from,
one
from
out.
From Oliver
he gave
down
us
under.
An over from down under.
Right.
Yeah. Very
over,
good, Eric.
Under, over.
All right, well, that's
Oprah.
What's today,
Oprah,
Tuesday?
Uma.
Okay, we got a show on Thursday, right?
Now, you're going to get
really?
It right this time because you've screwed up the close about 3 or 4
all
shows
right,
in
so
a row.
We'll see you just to let
noon Thursday.
Next Tuesday. I know it's only Tuesday now, but next Tuesday is going to be the same thing, 2 to 4.
Right.
Because we have another OTA next Tuesday.
And
I don't know what
Thursday,
minicamp, schedule is going to be, but probably same kind of a deal
right,
on,
yeah.
on Thursday.
But on Thursday, we'll be here at noon.
On normal time.
This Thursday.
Normal time noon.
Right. See you noon.
See you
all
noon
right, so
Thursday.
So we'll see you noon Thursday.
BFW in Progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.